United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I prayed every prayer, one, two, every service, like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without your help. I need your help. Oh, Lord, I need your help. Oh, Lord, hey. Oh, Lord, I need a help. I really need you, I need your help. tell the truth, sometimes I don't. But it ain't about my will, it's all about what you want. Family used to be first, and getting worse in my home. My brother is hurt, we need a word, no, but don't. I need a lifeline right now. 911 won't do, my back against the wall now. That's all that I can do. I prayed every prayer, went to every third, it's like I know how. Just a ship without a sail, I'm lost without you. God, it's me to say that I'm crying now, oh Lord, yeah, I really need you. I need you. That I need your help. I can't make it if I don't have your help.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Today is the 26th of June. We're winding down the month pretty fast. And this is the fourth Thursday of the month, and that's when I bring in my community people. And we talk about the credit union. We talk about finances and financial independence, of why it's important that we collectively come together financially to achieve a goal. I also have, there's going to be a women's conference that's going to start tonight, and I have the guest speaker who is going to be preaching over at New Birth with Pastor Robert Moore, which is down the street from here at the station. She's going to be, they're going to be with me this afternoon, this morning at 11 o'clock. And we're listening to April Neville. Now, she didn't do the song. The song was done by Erica Campbell, one of the girls from Mary Mary. But the girl that you actually hear singing is April Neville, and she just touched my heart when I saw her do this on Facebook. And so I wanted to let people understand that you just have to call out for help, and help is there. But then we need help one from another also. And that's where Pastor McNeil comes in. They've been trying for quite some time to build a financial institution within the community of faith so that they can start planting seeds of education, planting seeds of, it takes resources to build. You've got to have the tools. If you don't have the tools, you know, you can go out there and wish upon a house all you want, but if you don't have wood and lumber and a plan and some nails and some glue and some insulation Absolutely. And some shingles, then all you have is some space. Mm-hmm. And we have the space, we have the wherewithal, but they're it's called the Community of Faith Coalition now. And because it's a coalition, because it's not quite yet a credit union, but they're trying to build a community of faith credit union for the Mahoning Valley.
Exactly.
So how are you doing, Pastor McNeil?
Doing reasonably well, as they say in the South, sort of tolerable.
Very good, very good. You haven't been on with me for a while, so tell me, what have I missed? What you been doing? We're going to get you to credit union. What you been doing?
I've been preaching and carrying on as much as I possibly can. You know, anywhere people invite me to share the gospel, I will do that because that's my primary mission in life. But also my mission is to carry the truth as it might be to all the people.
How important is it? Because I ask you about you because you you've been spearheading this for quite some time. And you've been doing a great job at spearheading it, trying to bring people together on a common goal from all walks of life, from all faiths, to get them to see the vision and then buy into it.
Well, I be honest with you, I think if everybody had, not everybody, but if most of the people understood the value of what we're trying to do, there would be more people on board. If they understood, number one, the fact that there are some deficits in our community that we need to shore up. One of them is the fact that the community is financially illiterate to some degree, particularly inner city. And that's one of the goals of the credit union, the future credit union, is to give financial literacy to the community. And we actually have commitments from large entities to do that free of charge, and that's one of the goals that we're gonna have. Now, when I say financial literacy, I'm talking about all facets of finances, such as the fact that so many people lose income because the income that they have accumulated over the years, when they die, they lose it. We used to calculate that sort of thing. It was about $658 billion a year was lost in the black community simply because people didn't make a will. And actually, a will doesn't even cost a dime. It's a statement that says what you want done with your property. Well, if you don't make it, then that property goes to
the family fights.
Right, in a family fight. And ultimately, lawyers don't sue me for this, but the fact is it's going to lawyers. Because they're going to battle over it until all the money's gone. Then,
and, you know, I've watched that happen.
Yeah, I have, too.
I've watched people dwindle thousands and
yes.
thousands of dollars
yes.
away because their parent
right.
did not have a will, and
right.
people just went after each other because they just couldn't comprehend
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they needed, you know, to know who was going to get the most. And it was and dividing it evenly and being able to sell a house in a slow market
exactly.
that won't sell.
Right.
So Pookie, who lives next door, actually steals the plumbing out the house. So by the time you get the house, because you can't figure out who's going to stay
in the
house.
It's not worth anything.
You know, I've watched that happen on numerous occasions.
I have, too. And that's really what brought the passion to mind is when I started preaching about 30 years ago. Did some funerals, and we had to raise money for people who had died, and that was one of the things. They didn't have insurance. The other thing was that whatever they accumulated didn't get distributed as they wanted it. And just recently I had a situation like that happen where a friend of mine died, and he told his daughter what he wanted to happen, but he said her stepmother would take care of the situation, and she didn't have to worry. Well, as you might have guessed, when he died, the stepmother all of a sudden couldn't find the will.
Oh my!
It just didn't happen. So that's another aspect I learned about this recently, is that when you make a will, you must have the ability to make sure that your orders are carried out after you die. And the only way I know to do that is a couple of ways you can do it. You can actually file that in the probate office in some states. But I don't want to teach that because I'm not qualified to teach that. But I'm just telling you, you have to guard your interests. And the way I guarded the interest with my mother and father is we all made copies of the will and gave it to each of the benefactors. So when they died, there was no surprise. Everybody knew it was going to happen, and whatever arguments took place before they died.
Well, actually, they need to have a trust.
Well, that's another form. But I'm saying if you don't have a trust, you have a will of some kind.
Do something.
Yeah, do something. Most, trust me, when I tell you most, and I ain't going to say most anymore, it used to be most, but a lot of people don't have any way to pass on what they have accumulated to their loved ones, and that's just off the hook.
That's true.
And it doesn't cost anything.
That's true.
a misnomer that a lot of people have. They think that it costs a lot of money to have a will. No, it doesn't cost anything to have a will. If you write a will, that will is legal.
You can almost write it on a napkin.
You can, literally. But, and I do warn people, don't just do that. You always get your will, what they call it?
Notarized?
Notarized, yes. That's just a basic thing that everybody should do. I'm being careful not to be an expert in this, but that's just common sense. You make a will and you have it notarized, and then give it to the benefactors. Why do you give it to the benefactors? Well, you give it to the benefactors so that if there's going to be a fight, let it happen while you're living. You're the one that owns the stuff.
Yeah.
Like my daddy told my brother, he says, "Son, you crazy. Let's move on to another issue." He thought he should get everything. My daddy told him, said, "No, that's not going to happen." But he was living, so he was able to defend his decision in front of his benefactors. And then we all had a copy. So when he died, there was nothing to dispute about. You've already read
it. Let me also say this. Yeah. Even if you say, "Well, I don't have nothing."
Right. Oh, you got some. Everybody got some.
You know, I don't have. I've watched this happen. I don't have anything, so I don't need a will
mm-hmm.
because I have nothing to give my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. Unless you die in a car accident. Unless there's a problem and there comes a lawsuit with your death.
Right.
Now your estate just found
right.
money that you didn't know you didn't have.
Happens all the time.
You know, all those types of things make a difference.
Right.
You know, there's just so much to know. And when it comes to finances, you know, financial planning, I'm getting ready to go and see a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
not because I have any money, but because I want to accumulate wealth.
Right.
And you need to know how to accumulate, how to regenerate,
right,
and how to perpetuate,
right,
wealth.
Using what you have.
Absolutely.
That's a biblical concept, by the
absolutely
way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we have, you know the basics, but you don't know everything.
No. None of us do.
And it's a discipline.
Right.
And the Bible talks about self-control.
Exactly.
You need self-control. And if you don't have self-control, then you will never accumulate wealth.
Right.
You will never go anywhere, and you'll never get anything.
Right.
And that's a problem.
It is a problem. Jesus says it's a problem. So how dare you take the gifts that I've given you and bury them in the sand? How dare you?
Oh, we're good at that. We like to bury. We bury stuff. 440, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I wanted to say something. I know that in Jaga in Lake County, any senior can walk into it's a thing where you can go in and see a lawyer for free, and they draw up your will, legal will.
That's good.
And that's what, you know, I think the credit union wants to do. That's what they want to do. They want to educate you, bring somebody in and help you with it.
I'm pretty sure most of the counties in the state have that. Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Well,
look under senior services.
But everybody doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, you may be able to go find district area on aging if you're a part of their programming. But they want more than just you walking in and doing that. It's not like they advertise it, especially in the inner city. You have to understand that's a whole other world.
Yeah, they don't know.
Well,
a lot of people don't know
just,
about it.
I'm telling you, in Jaga, Lake County, you can walk in and set up an appointment, and it's a free deal for seniors. I know that pretty much for a fact. didn't cost me a dime.
But you're down in Jaga County. Who was it?
Yeah.
Who sponsored it?
It's state sponsored.
Is it ongoing?
Yeah.
Which agency?
It has Family Services.
Have you seen that? Have you heard that?
Not aware of it at all.
I'd have to look into it.
I can give you more details on it. I mean, we had it done.
I'm not talking. But see, you're in a different. What I'm saying is, you're in a different county. So if we have it here, why haven't they promoted it here?
It's funded. I'll tell you where they. They have it all the time. It's advertised in the News Herald.
It's not advertised in the Vindicator.
Well, I can tell you for true that most of the people in the Youngstown area don't know about it.
Absolutely not.
In the inner city, don't know about it.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention. Anybody that's got some money, you definitely want to. You want to provide yourself with some kind of insurance for long-term health, long-term, what do I want to call it, nursing?
Disability?
Long-term care.
Yeah.
I know where you mean.
Only because if Medicaid gets to it, they're going to take everything that you own.
Sure.
You'll be done.
That's part of financial literacy. Yes.
Yes.
That,
you'll be done. You will be
right.
Done. They will strip every nickel and dime that you have.
Hold on. You get $40 a month.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you're absolutely right. They do take your money, and there are ways to plan that. In fact,
everyone faces.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, what I was saying is there's ways to plan for that through financial literacy, and that's the kind of thing that the Future Credit Union will be teaching. Because we have various tools that you can use, and they're all legal. We're not talking about avoiding taxes for the government and all that kind of thing. We are talking about avoiding taxes, but
they're legally done.
Right, right. But there are ways in which to do that, you know, and each state differs. So it's the kind of financial literacy that need to be taught. However, people who are of means already know about this, but the ones who are not of means, they don't know about it.
And you wonder why the community looks the way it does.
Well, it's no wonder, because the truth of the matter is, if you teach a man how to fish, he'll live for the rest of his life. But if you give him fish, he won't be able to survive. So we have to teach people how to survive, and that's what we're trying to do. There's so many areas in this area, in this financial world, where we are short. When I say we, I'm talking about mostly inner city. They are short on knowledge, and wheels is one of them, but insurance is another one. And there's all kind of insurance. I'm not necessarily talking about insurance that you buy from a company, though that's one form of it, but I could never get my mother and father to use that form. What they used was a checking account, which is the worst form, but nevertheless, it is a form.
And that's all they did. And they have a savings account.
Yes. That
and they put all their money into a savings account and a checking account.
Yeah, right.
That's no diversity.
You know.
Hold on. No diversity. No diversity.
Mm-hmm.
No long-term. Oh, they may have savings bonds.
They didn't have that.
And you got savings bonds, and they stack them up, and they've been collecting them for years, not realizing it's not accumulating their wealth anyhow.
No. At a certain point, it stops.
That's just done.
Right.
And people don't know the difference between a savings bond. There's municipal bonds.
Right.
There's other ways to diversify your funds.
Right.
So that it becomes a commodity for you.
Financial literacy.
And it's necessary.
Very necessary. Even for those who are not millionaires.
Absolutely.
A lot of people think these tools are just for millionaires. Oh, no. Quite the contrary.
No.
They are for everybody. And so we all should be taking advantage of as much as we can. And by the way, we all ought to be paying Uncle Sam as less as we possibly can.
But you got to know how
legally.
To do that.
Yes. Legally. And
but I keep some in the – I'm sorry. I
go
keep
ahead.
Some in the savings and the checking, too, just in case I got to go to jail. My wife got to get me out or something, you know. She keeps some liquid, so she says,
I don't know
what you're going to get into. She says, we ain't going to put all of it there. We've got to keep some there for you to get out of jail card.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
I need to archive emails to comply with business regulations.
Do you have an IT guy to help search through thousands of PSD files?
No.
Got time to install a complicated product or create detailed reports?
No.
You okay paying storage fees to save duplicate emails and images?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Message Archiver lets you store and find emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instance storage will save you time and money.
And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
WSOM.
I saw a guy texting yesterday, but I think he had his kids with him. Is that possible? I felt like following him. And he was not going slow. He was approaching a roundabout. I don't know what you have to set up for yourself, what sort of thing to convince yourself, but texting while you're driving is not suicidal, it's homicidal.
Catch Dennis Miller, noon to 3, weekdays, right here on News Talk AM 600.
I'm Barbara Keegan with your headline news. Austintown Township is increasing its security and safety in preparation for the debut of the Hollywood Gaming at Mahoning Valley Racecourse. The new racino has already provided funding to help cover the cost of extra police patrols. Disorderly conduct and thefts are among the most common crimes at racinos or casinos, and that's according to the Ohio Casino Control Commission. Hollywood Gaming is set to open this fall. Just yesterday, a job fair was held for the racino at the Stambaugh Auditorium in Youngstown. The company wants to fill 400 new jobs when it opens. And a Youngstown man is appealing his 90-year prison sentence for producing child porn. 29-year-old Chris Kavanaugh pleaded guilty to child exploitation and more. Investigators say he took inappropriate pictures of a 6-year-old girl, then distributed those images using his cell phone and his email. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories, and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Do you find yourself constantly tired?
Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, listen, tonight, the Women's Conference 2014 is called Covered by the Blood by New Vision New Day Ministry, which is located at 1970 Everett Avenue here in Youngstown, Ohio. They're going to be having a Dr. T.L. Penny from Sumter, South Carolina. Starts tonight at 7 o'clock. She's going to be with me today, this morning at 11 o'clock. So we want you to come, listen in and make arrangements to come out tonight. Everett is located over here, what we call Brownlee Woods, off of Midlothian Boulevard. And it's right off of Midlothian. You know, it's right on the corner, and you can see it from Midlothian. So it's right there. It butts up Everett. The church butts up with Midlothian and Everett. So if you can come out tonight, do that. And don't forget tonight, this weekend, and it starts today also, St. Christine's annual Parish Festival. They're going to have a special kids night tonight. Starts from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Free hot dogs, chips, drinks, special kids games, and discounted armbands for rides. And then tomorrow they're going to be from 6 p.m. to 11. And then on Saturday you're going to be all day long from 4 until 11. That's going to be at St. Christine's over on the west side. They want you to come out. It's going to be great food, attractions, games for all, bingo, gift baskets, and a $6,000 raffle. So don't forget St. Christine's, and don't forget tonight, New Day, New Vision. So in studio with me, I have Pastor Henry McNeil. And Pastor Henry McNeil, I'm going to ask, I'm going to slow this down a little bit and back up some, because we talked about some of the programming that will come out of a credit union. But just because you haven't been here in a while.
No.
And so we really haven't focused necessarily on the credit union. Why? I mean, there are people out there asking, well, why can't a bank just do this? Why can't you just do this through something else? What's so big about starting a credit union?
Well, the credit union has advantages that, particularly the one we're talking about, is we're applying for a license to have what is called a low-income status credit union, and that gives you certain advantages in making microloans and those kinds of things. As you know, or as you may not know, a credit union has to operate under the auspices of the Commerce Department, the Division of Financial Institution in Columbus. So their guidelines are very strict when it comes to how you're going to lend money, how you're going to set interest rate and all of that. They don't determine that, but they do have to approve it. And so being a credit union, you have a charge over what it is that you're doing financially. For instance, just to make a comparison, if you bank with some of the large banks, and I won't call any names around here, how many times did they call you and ask you what interest rate do you want for your money? You're never going to be asked that question. You're never going to be a part of the decision-making for that. Whereas in a credit union, you definitely are the person. You become the person who votes for all of the committees that are in a credit union, and even those committees that set those policies as far as interest rate is concerned, and those committees that determine how much money is going to be charged for cashing a check for an interest. And that's one of the problems we are trying to help with in the inner city, is people who are being gouged out by payday lenders. That won't happen if you become a member of a credit union such as ours. You will be able to cash your checks. If there is a fee, the fee will be set by the members. And who are the members? That will be you. That will be every member has one vote in a credit union. So you do get something to say about how your finances are done, how your money is being spent, how you get loans, all of that. You have a say in it through the vote, because you have to vote for your directors. You have to vote for what directors are going to do, and the policies and procedures. All of that come before members in some way, in some form. In other words, you have a say.
Yeah.
You don't have a say at any name of bank in this city or any other city, and I'll tell you right now, you ain't got no say in what they do.
Well, that's the difference between credit unions and membership. So no matter how large or how small your deposit is, you still have a say.
One say.
And what goes on. But also, you need to know that having control of, or having a voice inside of the economic development of your own community,
right,
gives you leverage and power. There's a reason why you don't see your banking institutions trying to help you with financial literacy and driving it with a passion.
Exactly.
You know, I said this on yesterday, I believe it was, we don't realize that banks sell money.
Sure they do.
They're in the business of selling money. So when you go buy your car, you actually go and they sell you the money at an interest rate.
Right.
And then over a five-year span of time, you've pretty much paid at least double at times, maybe even triple at times, for the car that you paid for.
And they renegotiate that contract with other banks from time to time.
Every now and then they'll let you do that.
Right.
You don't realize that your financial devastation causes you more money.
Oh, yeah.
It costs you money. So when you lose your job and you can't pay your bills and your credit rating goes down, your interest rating goes up. So then when you go out to get a loan, they charge you more because you have less than they do instead of charging you less because you have less.
The people who have the least amount of money are always the one paying the most. A credit union seeks to stop that process and to reverse it. And in some ways it does. But it's not going to happen unless you yourself invest.
And it brings you the opportunity to have something called, you know, you've heard us talking about community here often.
Yes.
And community means common unity.
Right.
And common unity within your finances, which means your community of faith credit union not only can come in and do something that's going to be beneficial,
mm-hmm.
but it actually can start lending money to agencies and to entities within your own community that's going to provide programming
exactly
for sustainability for and longevity for our community.
It does.
You need that. You need to have businesses, but they need to know the reason why things are going on in your life is because you got in a car accident and lost a limb.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a bank right now, the president of the bank here in town,
mm-hmm.
they don't have any power.
Not anymore.
No, you can go to the president of any bank here, and they got vice presidents all over the place,
mm-hmm.
in your major banks,
yes.
and they have no say.
Of course, they wouldn't agree.
That's all right. They know. They know. They have some influence, but they have no say.
Right. They don't have the final words. We know that because if you call them up about a problem, and I've done that.
They got to call corporate.
Yes, they will tell you, we can't control that. We used to, Mr. McNeil, but we can't control that anymore. It's done out of Dallas or it's done in New York City or whatever.
So you got to go to their board.
Yeah.
And they have a board of trustees,
yeah.
that governs you have a local board here,
right.
that does regional stuff or local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a board of trustees. There's a hierarchy within this institution,
mm-hmm.
that's so far from you.
Right. It's no longer a local situation.
No.
And the policies are set at that higher level.
Absolutely.
That's where the policy didn't used to be that way. I remember when we had local banks that made decisions like that, even about the interest rate. You can't do that anymore.
No.
That's done way up there. And that's the difference between a credit union. Now, that's one thing about this credit union that we have a vision on. It's a two-tier field of membership. The first one is Youngstown local proper, but the second tier is faith, a faith-based credit union that we envision, and we have very large vision. We extend it to the United States of America. So I've talked to people who own businesses out in California. I've talked to people who own businesses in Paterson, New Jersey, which I have a lot of relatives in there. And I do have some relatives who are financially in business, and talk to them about it. We actually have a vision that this credit union should be national in terms of deposits, and that's our field of membership. It is local, but it's also for faith-based, any faith in the United States of America. So with the fact that we have ATM these days, we have this banking situation that is electronic. You can bank from anywhere, and so it's no longer local situation.
I mean, you can go online and have a bank on there,
sure.
and it can be in Zimbabwe.
Sure.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. They're asking, when's your next event? When are you going to guys going to do something that people can come together in? Or how are they? What's your drive like? How do people donate? How do we do this?
We have a few tools to drive. The major one online is called give2COFCU.com. And that explains us in a very brief term. And you can give two ways, basically. If you want tax deduction, we now come under the 501(c)(3) of Catholic Charities, thanks to them. you can give, write a check to Catholic Charities, and in the memo section, you put for a donation to COFCU, and that qualifies you to deduct it on your taxes. So if you want to give and have it tax deductible, then you give it that way. But if you want to give directly to our organization, you give to COFCU. And the P.O. Box is P.O. Box 1026, Youngstown, Ohio, 44501. And your donation will go towards raising $150,000. That is what our goal is, to raise $150,000. And the State of Ohio, Commerce Department, Division of Financial Institutions, and the Ohio Credit Union League has pledged that if we but raise $150,000, they would go after matching money of $1.5 million as setup funds in what is called non-member deposits that we would be able to use to start the credit union. Now, that money, let me explain that because there's confusion about that from time to time. Non-member deposit is money loaned to a credit union. It's a loan, but it's not called that. It's loaned to a credit union for almost interest-free, or it is sometimes interest-free for a period of 3 to 5 years. That's normally the period. And the concept is that if you have $1.5 million as startup capital, and then you have back office support from a major credit union somewhere close to you, then you will be able to be solvent within 3 to 5 years, and you'll be on your own and be able to pay the $1.5 million back, and at the same time be able to exist as a solvent credit union, and that is the goal.
I keep on going back to the importance of financial literacy and having economic development at a financial institution that you have voice, right, that understands. I was saying something to Sticks on yesterday, and I said it's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about race on here. We talk about a lot of things on here. We talk about politics on here. And, you know, I am very conservative, but I am a realist. There are some things that are cultural, that and there are cultural patterns and habits that some need to be broken,
sure.
Some need to be enhanced,
sure.
And some need to be refined.
Sure.
And there are things that we need to come together as one and agree on that which we agree with.
Right.
And agree to disagree on the things that we disagree about. Mm-hmm. But one thing we do know, that education, mm-hmm, is the key to economic success.
It is.
To civil rights success.
It is.
To integration and to our future. And if we talk about entitlement programs,
mm-hmm,
you can't catch a vision unless you can see it.
True.
And there are people in the inner city that are young people. They need to see us at work.
They do.
They need to see us sowing seeds and building in their own community that they can aspire.
They do.
And if we don't create economic wealth in our own community, how can anyone who's never seen it aspire to it?
Exactly. But it goes extend even further than that. And I always espouse to the fact that economic empowerment helps everybody. It really spans across. If we set up the proper credit union within the confines of this city, that's going to help everybody, because it's an economic development that doesn't just encompass itself within our own neighborhood. It actually expands outward. And so it kind of reminds me of the difficulty going on in the Middle East over there right now, where the Sunnis and the Shiites are fighting each other. What it shows you is that together we stand, divided we fall. That country is being Syria is being torn apart, and so is Iraq. Why are they being torn apart? Because the warring factions are not coming together. And the Maliki government, I don't mean to get too deep into that, but it's a principle that help us understand what we're trying to do here. Is one thing that I do know, if you come together, you have more power and you have more strength in what you're doing than you will be when you are divided. And so this credit union that we're talking about, we hope that all of the races and people will come together and help with this, because it will help everybody. If Youngstown is healthy, then that's good for the state. That's good for the United States.
That's good for for the suburbs.
Exactly.
And since you're there, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. The problem with our community today is that for some reason the suburbs felt as though they could allow Youngstown to go to waste.
Wow.
So for a long period of time, they really didn't care what went on in the city as long as they took the wealth out of it. And so just being honest, you can't say it, I can. That's what I do. And so when you abandon this massive piece of land and the people that live in it,
mm-hmm.
and you think that it will not touch you, you've found out now in your present that that is not true. Whatever happens to one happens to other. For every action, there's a reaction. And so what has happened is that which you ignored has shown up at your door. When we had a problem with education, I talked to some school board members in the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and when I was a board member, we talked about what they called the ROLF. And the ROLF was the funding for charter schools.
Okay.
And the ROLF was the funding for schools, and then open enrollment came along.
Okay.
And when they were bleeding Youngstown dry with charter schools who were not competing equally, and we're telling them they're not any better than we are, but we keep on taking the money out and giving it to private entities. And we ask them to go down to Columbus with us and fight with us because of open enrollment, because of charter schools. They didn't listen. It wasn't their problem.
Mm.
Well, now your suburban schools are bleeding, and they found out what it feels like to lose your funding.
Mm-hmm.
For children to be taking the money with them to places that are not giving them the education. If they come back, you have to take them back. You have 13 volumes of regulation, and they have 26 pages of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But when we cried help and we asked for their help in the beginning, because it was not their problem, they ignored it.
Because they thought it was not their problem.
That's true. Well, it wasn't their problem at the time.
They thought it wasn't, because it was incubating at that.
That's right. But now,
yeah.
Now it's hit their pocketbook,
right.
And they're just about to flip out.
Right.
And so it's the same thing when you need to stir economic development into the underserved.
Right.
You know, when you have people who aren't, and we, you know, as Republicans, we're always talking about entitlements.
Sure.
And people getting welfare.
Yeah.
Well, if you want people to come off welfare, you've got to give them a means to make that happen so they have sustainability and they can be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And if you're not self-sufficient, then I got to have welfare.
Right.
So don't complain about it if you're not willing to help us fix it.
That's true.
And the only way that you can fix it is with financial literacy.
Right.
And so that they can understand that with this check and with the benefits that I have, I can grow my way out of the public system.
Right. Let me put it this way. You're going to help on one end or the other.
Absolutely.
You're going to help going in, or you're going to help on the other end when they get
and
to the point.
And people need help. People
yeah.
need help. They need to know. They need to learn something. Just because you can cover up your problems in your life,
mm-hmm.
some people expose theirs.
Right, right. Even when you start talking about, you know, what we started off talking about, wills and everything, think about that. That, too, becomes a problem for the government eventually when it's not done right. So everybody's problem.
That's why Youngstown's tearing down houses.
Exactly.
Because they're abandoned, they're stripped, and most of them happened not because no one would live in it, but because by the time it got through probate,
right.
there was no house to have.
Right.
The same thing's happening out in Boardman and the suburbs.
Mm.
People are dying without wills,
right.
and you've got an eyesore.
Right.
You got. Let me see it this way. You have houses that have been foreclosed on in your community.
Right. Oh, that's happening everywhere.
And the
now.
Banks.
Yeah.
They forget to change the name, so people are moving out the house because they believe they have to move, and the banks just abandon the house. So the house is now in somebody else's name. The taxes are not getting paid,
right.
and it is an eyesore to the whole
and
community.
That affects everybody.
The whole community.
It affects everybody.
So you want to start sowing and developing
yeah.
financial institutions that you have control over.
Exactly.
That will do public and do community programming.
Right.
This is not a free-for-all.
It's a concept. If I help you, I help myself. We all here together. There's only one ball called Earth that we know about. Now, they say there's some other balls out there, but we ain't even been able to get to them yet, at least not as humans.
No.
So we got to deal with what we have. We have Earth. That's all we have. So since that's the situation, we really do have to see after in each other, and that's on levels.
I am my brother's keeper.
Exactly. Locally, state-wise, nation-wise, and internationally.
So no matter what you say, I still am my brother's keeper. That what
you
say?
Are.
You know, it's kind of funny. People don't feel that way.
Well, but we are.
But no matter how you don't think you feel, you still are responsible
I'm
for your neighbor.
I'm concerned about the 200 children. That were 200 girls
in Nigeria.
That were taken from that that community. Very concerned about.
They
it.
Just had another one. They just the same community.
I know.
They came back in there.
I know, and that's the one area where I agree with the Republicans on, and that is, you ought to have a gun in your home because that can't happen in places where you have guns.
Absolutely
in
cannot.
Home. Let somebody come on my street now talking about taking some children from there. You're gonna have a wall on your hand, you know, a real wall.
We have to. We are responsible for one another.
Sure, we are, and to protect one another.
And that's what's wrong with the United States right now.
Yeah.
We're no longer united.
I know, but I hope we don't fall apart like they are in the Middle East.
If we keep on going down the road we're going,
we were headed down that road during the segregated years, but
we're back again.
We're back again.
Because we're fractured in so many ways.
Yeah. Well. I just hope the factions, will come together and understand that we still need each other. I have never seen Washington, though, as politically divided as it is today. That bothers me a lot. But
this has been brewing. It was brewing under.
Yeah.
Let me say this: what I've watched over my little 15, 16 years being really politically active.
Right.
D.C. has been like this no matter who was in charge, Republican and or Democrat.
Right.
Because these men and women are boys and girls.
They do act that way.
And they act like kids.
They do. I couldn't believe so many arguments I see.
And the kids, and they act like kids.
On both sides of that.
And I'm talking about both sides.
Right.
And I'm talking about from the White House all the way down to the outhouse.
Yeah, I know that.
And the kids... If you don't agree with me, everybody will be mad at me, so I can't be ostracized.
Because
I don't want you mad at me, so I can't agree with you.
Can you imagine shutting the government down because to make a political point?
Absolutely.
That makes no sense.
The same way we ain't seen the filibuster come through yet in the Senate, because they've already passed it that you can have it. But we haven't seen the nuclear option coming through yet either.
No, I heard about that.
There's some crazy stuff they've allowed to start happening inside of our Congress.
It's divisive and...
That we should not have allowed.
No, it's going to hurt. And that's got nothing to do with the parties. Well, it has everything to do with the parties, but I'm saying I can't point to one party and say that...
They're all the same.
The Republicans are responsible, the Democrats... No, they're all
the
very selfish people. I hate to say it, but that's true.
But that's because the people of America have not taken ownership of America. We are still supposed to be governed by the people.
Yeah, but...
And if you don't educate the people on their ownership, if you own something and you don't know what you own, you will put it in the corner and never pay attention to it.
Yeah.
This country is owned by its people, and it's supposed to be governed by its people, not by a group of people that you send to Washington and then take your hands off of them.
Yeah, but don't you wonder sometime, when people go to Washington, and when we are first elected, we are so honest and want to do what's right. And then somehow look like when they get down there, they get corrupted.
It's because you and I take our ownership off that person. See, if you own this radio program,
mm-hmm.
and you're not here every day,
mm-hmm.
if you don't check in and see what I'm doing,
right.
then you never know what's going on.
You lose control.
Right. But see, if you come in and check on and make sure that I'm doing what you had intended,
mm-hmm.
because you own this station even though I work for you,
mm-hmm.
then you have a handle on what's going on. And what happens with our politicians, the people who send them to the position
mm-hmm.
take their hands off the position, mm-hmm. and they just let them roll. And you assume that they're doing that which is right for you.
The promises that they made and
Absolutely.
All of that, yeah. It does seem to get lost.
Because I am a Republican, I still honor Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
but he shouldn't be there. And but this and I'm going somewhere else with this, but this goes into succession planning. And this is something that I'm going to talk about in the next segment. If you want to stay around, you're more than welcome. But succession planning is true leadership. Hmm. And I'm finding that people who have aged stay too long and don't plan for succession.
Well, everybody knows, even in the world that I serve in spiritually, pastors
don't have a succession plan.
Well, I won't say that. I'll say most don't.
That's true.
There are some now who are learning that they should. But everything, what goes with that, a lot of financial literacy goes with that, too.
Absolutely.
I have seen pastors who pastored for 45 years and didn't even have a retirement. That makes no sense at all. So you haven't planned anything. You haven't planned for succession. You haven't planned for you to live past 65, any of that. And that's crazy.
I'll tell you what made me think about this. We were talking about the Racino and the gambling in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
And Pastor, and I'm going to call him out, Pastor Alford,
mm-hmm.
was here.
I remember.
And when he was here in the Mahoning Valley,
right.
he took ownership
sure
to
did.
Make sure
of the whole
that things are going to go politically
right.
the way that he thought was best.
I saw him
and
do
so
it.
What he did was when they brought these issues up that he felt as though was against his faith,
right.
he brought in the wealthiest to the smallest.
Yes, he did.
The blackest to the whitest,
mm-hmm.
from all spectrums, for them to come together for a common goal.
The man brought the governor in on a
absolutely.
Day's notice.
Absolutely.
it was something.
But instead of him having a succession plan and making sure that someone was going to be able to take the same power when he died,
didn't have one
as yet. He did when he lived.
Not and, that I knew of.
And,
anyway.
And I'm telling you, because as soon as he died,
nobody
we had,
took over.
But as soon as he died, we had gambling on the ballot, and it won.
Yeah.
And so I say this, because he actually had a will on the state.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't train who's coming up behind you to take the ball and move forward, any good company, Smucker's Jelly has a succession plan on where the Smucker's boys are going to go.
Yeah, he tried, though. I got to give him credit for that. God bless him.
Who?
Alfred, Reverend Alfred. He tried to train someone.
See, training is one thing, yeah. but he wanted to train who – training is one thing, but that doesn't mean that was the person that needed to be trained because sometimes we try to put our kids in position.
I don't know.
I'm not saying him. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We put our kids in position that they don't belong in.
I think the problem happened, as it does oftentimes with leaders – he didn't have enough time to put the person in place because there was a person he was training. There's no doubt about that. I won't call his name, but he didn't have enough time to do it. So
that's
it should,
why we start early.
Should have been done real early.
We start early.
I don't know if he knew he was going to be the leader that he was, though. You know, he was a great man.
He was a great leader.
He crossed all racial bounds.
Absolutely.
That man knew no racial
absolutely.
Bounds.
Absolutely. And I'm just speaking honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, we all
that,
have,
that was one of his
And when bounds, I say this, yeah. when I say this, this is no disrespect to him.
No, I know
but
what
some
you're
things
saying.
Are a lesson to be learned.
Right.
And the lesson to be learned is you cannot hold on to something so tight and hold on to your power and your Rolodex so tight to where that when you die, everything dies with
dies
you.
With you.
It's just like my aunt's barbecue recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find the barbecue sauce because she never wrote it down. And me being dumb didn't go try to figure it out. So now she's no longer here.
And you don't know what it is.
And she took the recipe in her head with her.
Oh, Lord.
So now we have no barbecue sauce recipe.
Well, I'm about to give my wife recipe.
Well, we need to do something about it. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
In recent months, a surge of children illegally entering the U.S., often without their parents. Immigration officials say it could take years to hear their cases in court to decide on deportation. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer praised the Border Patrol in her state for dealing with the influx.
There's about 140 coming in every day with 140 going out every day. They're processing maybe 10 to 12 young girls that are pregnant daily.
The detainee, says Brewer, are getting proper medical treatment. The Mississippi River is set to crest at more than 20 feet tonight near St. Paul, Minnesota. Major flooding threatened. These people are in the Minnesota town of Waterville.
We've had a record amount of rain in Minnesota, 15 inches of rainfall, and we're not even completed the month.
There's widespread flooding in Recife, the city in Brazil that's hosting Team USA and Germany. They're playing in the World Cup. ABC's Scott Goldberg says the match is expected to start 2 hours from now.
This could be a challenging day for American soccer fans.
Well, I didn't bring my calculator. But
first, as ESPN's Alexi Lawless explains, you have to figure out what exactly the U.S. needs to do against Germany to make it through to the knockout round.
They can win, they can tie, and they can lose, and they can still go through.
But a loss complicates things. The other challenge might be watching the game. It's on at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Bosses, beware. By at least one estimate, this one soccer game will cost American businesses close to $400 million in lost productivity. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
News just in, FIFA has suspended Luis Suarez for 9 matches in 4 months. Suarez bit another player in a World Cup game. Iraq's government has confirmed Syrian warplanes bombed Sunni insurgents in western Iraq. Britain's foreign secretary now in Baghdad. This is ABC News.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-520-9330. That's 800-520-9330. Don't wait. Call 800-520-9330.
Not available in California.
Do you have startup capital and are looking to invest in a booming health-based business? Here's your opportunity. We're looking for business-savvy people in this area to become franchise owners of Fresh Healthy Vending Machines. Fresh Healthy Vending Machines sell exactly what America wants, healthy, natural, organic snacks. We've identified prime vending machine locations in this area, and we place your machines for you so you can capitalize on this huge demand. For free owner information, visit readyforfresh.com now and enter code 6000. That's readyforfresh.com, code 6000.
New research out on the question of whether footballers suffering brain injury have more problems later in life. It's from the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine, suggesting they're more prone to developing dementia. Dr. Stephen Rao of the Cleveland Clinic advises,
adding additional evidence that experiencing a traumatic brain injury can result in alterations in the way the brain functions.
Experts say more research is needed. President Obama speaking up for his administration's goals to reduce carbon emissions. He spoke to the League of Conservation Voters.
Last month, hundreds of experts declared that climate change is no longer a distant threat. It's moved firmly into the present.
The president criticized members of Congress who have refused to admit that climate change is an important issue. Richard Davies, ABC News.
If your computer is running slow, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that may be slowing down your computer. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
Stop into any of the 10 area Great Clips locations, make a $1 donation to Harvest for Hunger, and get 2 tickets to the Scrappers July 4th game, followed by fireworks. At Great Clips, it's gonna be great.
Not available in California.
Do you have startup capital and are looking to invest in a booming health-based business? Here's your opportunity. We're looking for business-savvy people in this area to become franchise owners of Fresh Healthy Vending Machines. Fresh Healthy Vending Machines sell exactly what America wants, healthy, natural, organic snacks. We've identified prime vending machine locations in this area, and we place your machines for you so you can capitalize on this huge demand. For free owner information, visit readyforfresh.com now and enter code 6000. That's readyforfresh.com, code 6000.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I confess,
SOS, I need you daily. Can't lie, say the pain don't faze me. My God, who gon' help these babies?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I've got an hour before my next guest comes in, so I'm just going to rant and rave. If you want to come in and change the subject, go somewhere else, you can. I don't mind. But I wanted to bring in, as I said to Pastor Pastor McNeil, and I want to thank him from the Community of Faith Collaborative Union. Succession and understanding when to step aside and understanding that when you should be a part of the action and when you should be a part of the advisory, that's something that in our community that we need to learn how to do. Because I'm watching people who are elder statesmen and they are as I said, Charlie Rangel. I politically pretty much disagree on almost everything he actually puts forth inside of his agenda, for the most part. But I applaud where he's been. He's held 22 consecutive terms, which makes 44 years in Congress. And what he has crossed through, what he has done over the years, with the Harlem District, how he's done it, I have to applaud that. I've got to give him credit where credit is due, and I actually appreciate him being there. But I believe he's 86 years old now. He might be a little bit older. He has no business being there anymore, and he ought to have a succession plan for someone inside of. That he is taught, that he is trained, that he is groomed to take up where he is and to carry the ball further. That's what good leaders do. But and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the person who actually who actually lost to him over the in the last day or on the election this past Tuesday in New York, I'm not saying that that person was the right person. I'm not saying that person should have won. That's not what I'm saying. But if he had had a succession plan, Charlie Rangel should be stepping down, not only because of his age, but of his positioning now. Inside of the Congress, he has been censured, which means you can sit there as long as they can send you there. But you can't sponsor any bills. You can't co-sponsor any bills. You can't be on any committees. So all you do is vote, and you barely get that. That's not a good representative. And we need to understand that that's not a good representative from your area. If you can't get anything done, if you're not effective, then you're really not representing the people as impactfully as you can. And we continue to send people someplace that they're not effective. And this is not about personality. Like I said, he and I disagree on a lot. But with our disagreement, I still can respect who he is and what he's done. But with that, I can say it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go and pass the mantle on to someone who can run the relay race a little bit harder, a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, and carry it on. I mentioned this earlier about, I said Pastor Alfred. I love Pastor Alfred. He was my friend. Great guy. Awesome guy. But as I say this, when he passed away, because there was not an impact of succession, he took everything that he had with him and all of his influence and all of his power. And so when he left, things that should have been carried on just went away. That's not what I would call a good plan. And we have to start taking, our planning stages from one place to the next. We have community centers here. They need to have advisory boards, and then they need to have trustees. Trustees need to do the business. They need to do the working of the day. They need to be working boards. They need to be making things happen. They need to be moving forward. And then you have an advisory board where the people who have done this and have carried this ball to this place, they actually sit down and tell you, this is how you get things done. And we've got some great elder statesmen in our community. that we need to sit down and learn at their feet and humble ourselves before them, recognize who they are, and understand that they have a lot of knowledge. They have more knowledge in their pinky than we have in our whole body. No, they may not have the degrees. No, they may not have all of the accolades. They may not have all the money. But you have to understand, these old people know some stuff. And we need to embrace them. We need to tell them thank you. And we need to learn from them. But also, they need to understand that they need, some of these people need to get out of the way. You've got people on the Supreme Court that need to go and sit down somewhere. Things have changed. And because of our greed and because of what people are trying to hold on and because of our egos, we are allowing a lot of our programming and a lot of our needs to fall in by the wayside. And because we've allowed it to fall by the wayside, our future is being dimmed and diminished because we won't take what we have and plant the seed and let it grow. And so I am, and I'm saying this because I'm watching Charlie Rangel, and I'm very, very, I'm very distraught about it because I'm watching this guy go back here for another 2 years, and he shouldn't be there. He really, really shouldn't be there. And because we are not paying attention and we're asleep at the wheel, we keep on sending people back. We're lazy. And we need to know we're lazy. And because of our laziness, because of our pathetic, apathetic attitude, because, you know, of our ego, we are allowing things to happen, and it's hurting our future, and it's diminishing our where we're headed and where we're going. And, you know, and it's just bad. I mean, I'm watching people sitting on boards, and they have no idea what they're supposed to be doing on the board that they're sitting on because we don't have board development and board training. And we need to start sharing our research, sharing our information one with another. It would be good. It would help. It would be beneficial to our community as a whole. But because we have not learned that, I'm talking about both black and white, because we have not learned that, that's where we are, and that's what's going on here. And it's just not a good thing. It really, really isn't. You know, I talk about politics. If you're going to be Republican, be Republican. If you're going to be Democrat, be Democrat. But you need to know the infrastructure and the workings around it, and we need to learn it. We need to share it. We need to help people grow in it. And not be afraid that if I teach you, you're going to take my place. And yes, they might do that. The people will come to find out that someone taking your place does not mean that they are better than you and they should have probably kept you. But we hold on to things so tight that people don't get anything done. And right now we're working in an ineffective community at large, the whole community. I'm talking about nationwide. Because we are not allowing people to actually move into place. We have, you know, programs here within our school district and within our state called Retire, Rehire. So we've got teachers in the classroom, and that they should be retired. They've been there 35, 40 years. They need to be on. They need to be consultants. They need to be brought in so they can help the younger teachers with some of what they know, and the older teachers, and the younger teachers teach some of the older teachers so that they can actually work better for our students inside the educational process. But that's not what we're doing. So we have teachers in there that are 35, they got 35 years, they retire, and then they come back and they get another paycheck and rehire them. So it costs less on the district. But it's still not benefiting our kids as a whole. And I don't think we're actually just paying attention to that. It's just not good. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
All day long. Feel it won't let me rest. Hands on my chest, I ain't that strong.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mart Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Arsenio, I'm tired of us always having to prove our love to our sons. One of the biggest compliments I get a lot of times is how great of a father I am. You see pictures on the internet. People compliment you a lot because they see photos. And honestly, sometimes I want to tell people,
Don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Fun-loving daddy and son pictures on a Facebook page do not equate to instilling values into your child's development. And the fact that I'm black should be irrelevant when it comes to my ability to raise my son. My skin tone should not make me any better or worse when it comes to the paternal instinct. But because fathers like me are apparently extinct, I get extra praise. And for what? For doing what I'm supposed to do. From strangers. Strangers who don't know, when my son was born, I only got him from 12 noon on Saturdays to 5 p.m. on Sundays, went to the court to get more time, came back with 12 noon on Saturdays to 5 p.m. on Sundays, plus child support, fought for a year, had him for a year and a half, if not more, had him 50% of the time, if not more, only to lose him when he started school to summertime and rotating holidays. So when you see me in the streets with my little one and want to say, it's so good seeing the father doing his job, spending that quality time, don't, because I am being robbed. Robbed of the greatest gift. Forced to live through pictures on an iPhone to recognize the touch of my lips more than they do my fingertips. And the smell of his lotion every day I rub into my skin, so when I smell myself, I think of him. Forced to live through memories that occur within the span of 1 week. Through occasional webcam chats with a child too young to speak back, so when he reaches for you through that camera, all you can say is, son, I miss you too. Or watching your son learn how to ride a bike via Skype at the hands of another man, and even though he is a good man and you are glad he's around, that man is not you. And not letting his mother know that all this is getting to you, so you get up to grab some tissue, because at all times, that distance of 3,117.4 miles can feel more like 3 million. Try dropping your son up at the airport with 3 teeth in his mouth, go 4 weeks without him, watch him come back with 5, and see if you don't beat yourself up for not being around during that time. So don't tell me I'm a good father when you don't know anything about me. Try to convince a person that knows nothing about you that you are simply worthy of time. See thousands of people inspired by your story but still feel that you are getting nowhere. Have people motivated by the pain that sits right here every day inside of your chest, and that same pain being a reflection of the amount of love that you possess. I want you to imagine your newborn baby sleep. You're watching him. Try to get his sleep patterns down pat, praying to God you get it right, because you have one night and have to go 6 days until you get him back. Imagine being able to fly through this world doing what you love to do, but because of a court order, your son before the age of 1 has to fly twice a month, which may mean by the age of 2, he'll have more frequent fly miles than you. Try never spending a day in your life locked up in prison and still watch your child grow up primarily through photos. Learn about his milestones via text message or Facebook and see if you don't feel numb. So how can I smile when people tell me I'm such a good father when I feel like I'm not given enough time to actually be one? Raise your son without feeling like you're actually raising him. And I know everything in this world doesn't go the way we plan. I can accept that. All that's fine. I just don't understand how a man can be forced to pay half of daycare, half of medical expenses, food, clothes, water, but the same man that laid down to create that child is not automatically given half of the time. Something about that situation is not right. And when I'm done with this poem, I mean this. I don't care if any of you clap. I just want my praise, my kudos, my air, my earth, my water, my drive, my moon, my sun, my baby, my motivation, my son. I just want my chance. I just want my son justice for his power. I want my baby back. Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I played that because I thought it was very, very impactful. And I was talking about succession planning. I was talking about community. And though I threw the father's thing in there with Princess Pal, you got to understand that when you look at community, when you look at succession planning, when you look at getting out the way, it comes from having understanding that there's a seed, and that male influence, that male hierarchy of in a community that is being erased and eroded. So when men have something, they hold on to tight because there's not enough of them to hold on to. Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you?
How you doing, Tracy? I'm doing good.
I'm doing good.
I got issues, Tracy. Man, what happened in Mississippi?
What do you mean, what happened in Mississippi?
I mean, black folks vote for Republican. Are you kidding me?
What's wrong with that?
That's what I'm saying. What's going on?
We're trying to let y'all know that we're really trying to get y'all to understand that Republican and Democrat, you need to vote your interest and not, you know, against you. What's wrong with that? That's how I roll.
So let me get this straight. So there's two types of Republicans now. There's the racist Republicans and there's the Republicans that care about you now.
Yeah, just like there's the racist Democrats and there's the Democrats that care about you now. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. People are people, so you got to vote your interest. You know that we've been saying that for a while.
So the Tea Party going to put y'all back in chains, huh?
No, not the Tea Party, because all the Tea Party ain't racist either. Don't get it twisted. People are people. People are people. And so that's how we have to really understand. People are people. Hey, good morning, Larry. You're making a lot of noise. See, Eric, we usually blame you if it's not you.
Yeah, sorry about that, Tracy. Hey, I would question you, though. I mean, it's not racist. The Tea Party is not racist because they don't control anything. There may be some prejudice elements in the Tea Party, just like there's prejudice elements in other areas.
I'll take that criticism.
Yeah. Because I don't like when everybody says it's racist. Well, to be racist, you have to have some power or control over me. But if you just don't like me because I'm black, then you're prejudiced.
But now I agree.
Control, yeah.
That's true. That's very, very true. Very, very good observation.
How's your Thursday?
My Thursday is good. My Thursday is absolutely fabulous. I am sitting here in a wonderful, cool studio looking outside at a cloudy day in Northeast Ohio, and all is good. And how is your day?
My day is going well. It's fabulous. I'm out driving market share for the company I represent.
That's good. Now, I have a question for you.
What's that?
Why is it that we have no succession plan?
You mean as leaders in our community?
This is black and white. There ain't no color on this. I mean, I would like for black folks to quit learning everything from white folks, and because they need to get out the way too.
I think some part of the problem is because of some of the, and I'm just sticking our community, Tracy, some of the African Americans and our leaders in our community, it should be leaders, if they say anything that's A, the truth, but we don't want to hear it, they're labeled as Uncle Tom. Or, you know, I just look at guys like Dr. Ben Carson should be a leader in our community. But half of our folks that look like us, Tracy, have no idea who the guy is or what he's done.
But isn't that because I was watching something on last night and all of our media is, I was watching something on, I'm trying to get her to come on the show. But the media that is controlled is doing it on purpose. Media shapes the mind whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And they're shaping the mind into where they don't want you to, they don't want you to be a father. Because, see, fathers have succession plans.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have everything that they have. If they're a good father, everything they have, they pour into their children. Or at least they should.
They should.
And we don't even, and see, and that only comes from a family hierarchy. A family hierarchy shows you succession planning, shows you leadership, and shows you how to cultivate your young into becoming that which they need to for the future. And they know that they pay attention to their children. They know their child's both weaknesses as well as their strengths.
But, Tracy, we don't need that. We got the government to take care of us and do everything for us.
I don't need the government.
Oh, yeah, you do. Ask them. They'll tell you.
No. just like I thought about when I played Princess talking about fathers. He wants to be a daddy, but he can't be a daddy. But then I go back to, how did you end up with a baby with somebody who wasn't going to allow you to be a daddy?
Right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, because I got to push back on the women's side. My question is, if I care about my child enough, there's a problem if I've got a child and I don't and I move away. Most of the time, I'm moving away not because of my job. I'm moving because I'm mad at the baby daddy. That's the truth. They're gonna take my card away from me in a minute. Am I lying? Alabama, your mic's on.
What's going on?
Good morning. Did I lie?
Say it again.
Did I lie when I said that?
No, you didn't. I feel, you know, I was in a, you know, got in a little heated, I wouldn't say heated, but got in back and forth with this post with some females about this person took, I don't know, I guess the mom took his son, her son, and he cross-dressed. He's no more than 6 years old. He cross-dressed. Son is cross-dressed in the picture with a drag queen artist. I forget the name because I don't keep up with that type of stuff, but the drag queen artist posted on their page about how the mom brought the son to the event. And the artist asked the son, "Are you my little queen princess?" And he said yes. And he or whatever it is posted that on their page. That's a problem. But that's a big, big problem. But the legal system won't. If I was a judge, she'll lose her son just for that. I would give him to the father just for that. At 6 years old, you have no business cross dressing. At 6 years old. That just on that alone, Child Protective Services will come take their child.
No, they can't because you're not letting the child explore the things that he or she may want to become.
How does that baby even know at 6 years
it's
old?
Not the
what
point.
The, how to what?
Not
come
the
on,
point.
Man.
We got to remember. Remember what I just said. They have the media has influenced the mind so much that now we believe that allowing a child at 6 years old to cross dress is a normal part of life. He's just expressing his way and trying to figure out what gender he wants to become.
I saw another little video with a little kid twerking, popping like a woman. Man, look. I would be in jail. I would be in jail if that was my child.
Like I said, that's what I'm saying. And we do this. We allow this and we do this. And we don't get it. So when I talk about succession planning, when I talk about understanding that, you know, putting things into the next generation, why do you think this generation is going to be weaker than the past generation instead of stronger? Good morning, Covina, man.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to touch on what Eric and the previous caller before Alabama was talking about. Not only did some black people vote for the Republican, but Rush Limbaugh had called those people Uncle Toms, which I thought was hilarious. I was gonna post that on your Facebook page and see your reaction, but I thought it was hilarious that Rush Limbaugh called the black people that voted Republican Uncle Toms.
Again, and I will say this out loud again. Rush, the things that come, I said this yesterday, things that come out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth are not always for the, they are not the thoughts and or the vision and or the solution and or part of the platform of the Republican Party. Rush Limbaugh does what he does for his audience for money. It's not like he cares. So y'all can call him up and tell him I said it. He don't care about black people. He don't care about white people. He don't care about Republicans. And he don't care about Democrats. Only thing that he cares about is his ratings and his money.
I could agree with that. But my other thing, too, is I didn't hear that caller that they had brought up Ben Carson and said that he should be a leader in the black community. I didn't get his name. But anyway, I think there's – but I think the Republican, black Republicans, too, they seem to make this assumption that black people can be controlled by just – if you show somebody black, then they're going to automatically support somebody just because
they do.
Black.
Well, wait, Kalina, man, I have a question for you. They're not controlled by black. So if they're not controlled by black, tell me this. When a black Republican shows up and has your best interest at heart, why do you demonize them?
Okay, that's what my point is. Just because they're black doesn't mean they automatically get it. They earn your support because they're black. That's what black people are trying to fight against, that idea. If it's a Hispanic person, then the only Hispanic people are supposed to vote for them. White person, white people, black. It doesn't work that way.
Did you answer my question? Kalina, man, you didn't answer my question. My question to you is, when you have a black person who happens to be Republican, shows up with your best interest at heart, and is willing to do whatever is necessary to make your community and our community grow, why is it that we demonize them because they're Republican?
Right, because right there, if a person, let's just forget the skin color. If a person is a Republican, they don't have the best interests of black people. So if you just happen to say, well, we're going to take a Republican and we're going to have a black person, Ben Carson or whoever, and they're going to come out, it doesn't matter. You still support the GOP.
Can I ask you? No. Listen to what I'm saying. I am going to feed my community and give them what they need so that they can live, why do you care what party I'm in?
If you affiliate with the enemy, why don't you
Hold on. So why do you think the Republican is the enemy?
There's countless. We don't have.
Oh man, you just made my blood pressure boil. I'm not going for that today because it's a happy day. It's a light day. That's just crazy.
Why you let Kavina Man run your blood pressure up, though, Tracy? You know Kavina Man, anything Republican is bad, Democrat is good. That's Kavina Man. It's that simple.
I'm saying.
Yeah, you are.
Say what?
Yes, he wasn't that simple.
Kavina Man. You don't have a problem with any racist Democrat. You don't have a problem. They don't exist. And the principles of the Democrat Party, as Machiavellian as they can be, you don't study, you don't think of Machiavelli, you don't think like that. That's not, you don't understand that. So you just good Democrat, bad Republican. Now, I'm half right. What am I missing?
You're right about the Republicans, but you're wrong about the Democrats. Black people don't love Democrat. Black people just, they vote Democrat because you don't have an alternative. And Republican is your enemy. So you just, as one or the other.
Hold on, stop. I was talking about succession plan. We didn't get to Republican and Democrat. I'm going back to my succession plan. Because all I know is right now we are drowning in a teaspoon of water because we won't stand on our own two feet. That's a serious situation.
Okay,
and I'm watching black men be emasculated every day. I'm watching succession plans go out the window. I'm watching people leave out of here with more knowledge in their finger than we have in our body. And you sitting up there talking about Republicans are racist and Democrats, we don't go for that. But that's just crazy. That's just asinine to its core.
Okay, Jay, but I was responding to what Eric has said and that caller that
followed. My name is
Bill Green. I'm from Alabama, and I'm in Atlanta right now. I'm not Eric.
Not
Lord,
you,
have mercy.
Alabama, not
I'm
you.
I'm just saying, folks be Eric. I'll be like, man, I ain't saying that. My name ain't no Eric.
Hey, Larry. I'm just saying we have more issues. And right now, when Eric said, I cannot but happen in Mississippi, where blacks came out and voted for a Republican, maybe they're deciding to vote their interest. They need to do that. We need to learn how to do that. Just like I said about Charlie Rangel. Charlie Rangel, I said I applaud, and for me to be as Republican as I am and to be so politically opposed to a lot that Charlie says, I still respect his position and what he's done over the years, more so than the Democrats do that are around him.
Yeah.
If you think that he's doing anything worthwhile right now, all he's doing is collecting a paycheck, and he's not representing his district as he should, and they're being underrepresented because of who he is and not what he can do for them anymore, and he has no succession plan.
Tracy, one of the things you got to look at with the Black Caucus is that they are disrespected and held at bay. What the Democrats have done is say, look, you go out here and keep these Negroes under wraps, and we'll make sure you keep getting reelected. That's it. But they have no power in Washington. They can't do anything. They don't have. They are just disrespected, ignored, and they know it, but they just want to keep their comfortable position, kind of like an overseer.
So why do we keep on sending them back?
Because we don't use critical thinking skills when it comes to politics. We don't.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%.
And so Covina Man comes around and tells me that it's all, you know, we all Republicans are just bad, Black and white.
Correct.
And people buy into that. That's what's so poor about this. I mean, I'm looking at a governor here in the state of Ohio who has overwhelmingly shown that he cares about people of color and people who are underserved, to where he is willing to go against his own party to make it happen. But we can't see it, and so we're going to vote for somebody who's going to absolutely demonize us, put us further back than where we are because Republicans are bad? And your so-called leader's going to come around here and take the new guy on a tour? He going to shake your hand and grin at you like step and fetch it, and we going to vote for him? And then they want to talk about Republicans going to put y'all back in chains. Y'all better grow up.
I think that the Black people understand what's going on.
But they don't understand. They don't understand nothing, including how to wipe their behind. Because anytime you vote for people who don't like you, you've lost your mind. And there are people out there, I don't care what party they're a part of, they don't like you. That's like a woman going back to her battered husband talking about, he loves me and he didn't beat you behind every night. That's just crazy. Why would you do that? Come on, he loves me. No, he don't love you. Pardon me?
You're going to get in trouble.
Why am I going to get in trouble?
You just compared the Democratic Party to a wife beater. And you gonna get in trouble.
Hold on, though, Tracy. I have a problem with the whole concept because the Democrats actually understand marketing better than we do. Black Republicans don't market to Black people, and so they don't. You're not gonna win an election. You're not gonna get any inroads into the Black community if you don't start speaking to their issues, which the Republicans have showed a track record of ignoring. Because they've won elections without it. Now they're starting to say, okay, we might have to. Well, it's, you know, now you got to start fighting this reputation that they have fed into, whether we admit it or not. Being honest, conservatives and Republicans have ignored Black community issues. They have.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah,
but
why would they? Because if they they didn't, you weren't going to vote for them anyway, so you get ignored. But this is what happens when
you put it in the platform.
Blindly, give your allegiance to one party. That's what happens. You get one that ignores you, and the other one that takes you for granted. And either way, we get nothing regardless.
And right now they are actively pursuing marketing and going after the agenda of people of color. They have boots on the ground all over the country going and talking to African-Americans, letting them know that they want to hear from them. All they want you to do is listen. They just want to listen. Tell us what you want. But what's going on right now, if you automatically walk in the door and you can't hear me because you don't like the R behind my name because you think that other people love you, you've lost right there.
But you have to master the English language to be able to put words. Words is like art, man. You got to be able to paint pictures with words where people can acquiesce to what you're saying. If you can't do that, then you deserve to lose.
It goes beyond just being able to use in the math the English language. You have to explain. For instance, Mitt Romney got pillared for the 47% comment. I mean, it was all over, everywhere. But what he said was right. You know, he says 47% of the people, and if you look at it, that's the numbers. That's not, he didn't lie. So what he was trying to explain is how to get those people. You can't go to those to somebody that's not paying taxes now and tell them, hey, I'm going to reduce your taxes, and they're not paying taxes. That doesn't mean anything to them. You know, but if you explain why that reduction of taxes is going to be good for him, going to be good for his employer, and it's going to be good for his family, but we don't do that. We just say we're going to reduce taxes. But then you target an audience where the majority of the people aren't paying any taxes, and there's no message. They're not hearing
you. Well, okay, well, when you say that, what I'm going to turn around and say is, well, how am I going to pay for these subsidies that I give to the people that don't pay taxes, like welfare, food stamps, WIC, Section 8? How are we going to pay for education, roads, firemen, policemen?
But, but the thing is, we're not
going
to
go, you lower taxes, that's the first thing the Democrats are going to say.
Alabama, the problem is this is about their money. This is the problem. This is about their money, their power, and their influence. So when we look at this, Republicans are not trying to take away the finances of it. They're trying to reshape it to where the people can be accountable for it and then get you off of it to where you'll be independent on your own. Republicans are all about independence.
They
you
don't
need to come on the system. Come
these
on the system if you have to, and then get off when you need to. But see, what's happening is Democrats keep you on the system because they never want you off.
These people ain't thinking about independence, Tracy. That's not a word they think about. I'm just being honest with you. They don't think about ownership, independent. All they think about is job, you know, comfort, and you know, they want good education. They don't think about independence. When you say that, that means I own. I don't have a subsidy. I don't have somebody giving me something. I pay for everything out of my pocket. That's in, people don't have that type of, they don't have that mindset because the education system teaches them not to have that mindset.
But
we
my question
them,
is, when
school,
is it, when do
get a good job, but, that's it.
Alabama, but when do I get to the point when I and you and Larry, when we get to the point where we start teaching our own community that you, this is what happens when you become independent. This is what happens when you become free. This is what happens when you be, when you make it out of what you're in and you're no longer dependent upon the government. When do we start teaching our own?
Exactly. We did. The government got rid of Marcus Garvey. We've been saying this for centuries. We've been saying independence. There's a lot of black people that have been preaching independence, not depending on the government. Stop worrying about a job. Let's own our own business, create our own jobs. But, they don't, but you don't hear that today. And if you do, it's from a fringe group of people. But it's
so
not
when
popular.
When do we start teaching it again today? Because today is the makes the difference for tomorrow. And our people need to know that they need to be free and they need to be independent today. When do I come back to my community and start teaching them how to become free?
Let me answer that question,
Tracy. I'm going to say one point, Tracy. If you look at it, the dumb and ignorant have a voice now. They used to get shouted down, but now dumb, ignorant, when you say something like that and everybody knows that's logical and it makes sense, someone will come and make a dumb point like, well, I mean, everybody doesn't run businesses, as if that doesn't affect the jobs and affect the community and affect it. That affects everything when you have a higher percentage of people owning things. People, I mean, when you – go ahead.
Let me answer that question.
And you better not say nothing stupid.
No, I'm going to give you a straight answer. The thing is this, when you can show an example, period, done.
Can I ask you a question? How is Condoleezza Rice and how is Ben Carson not an example?
There are examples of Uncle Tom's. We understand that.
That's what I said. Don't say nothing stupid. said that was just stupid. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm. That was just stupid. Jeez, oh man, that was just that's what I'm talking about.
But Tracy, nowadays it's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt now. It's a Salem witch hunt. Any black person that says something that most black people that don't, even though it may not be well thought out, you're a coon or an Uncle Tom. They don't think about what you're saying. You may say, hey, maybe it's not good for us to be on welfare for 20 years. You coon. You Uncle Tom. It's a witch hunt. It's something that's nebulous. Nobody really knows. I disagree with you as a black man, and there are a lot of black people that disagree with you, so you're an Uncle Tom, a sellout, a coon. That's what you are. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, Will, they'll agree with you. You can show them on paper how it doesn't work to vote for one party. I agree with you. But you're a coon. You're an Uncle Tom. It doesn't even... Just stupid, just dumb. That's why it ain't no hope. It really ain't. I don't know what to do.
No. There has to be hope because they've beaten hope out of everybody else. That's what's wrong with our communities. Our communities have lost their hope. They have no more drive. They have no more dream. We've got to put hope back in there so that we can come out because this is worse than slavery if they've lost hope. At least the slaves thought they can get out. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning, Tracy. Anyways, I have to agree with Alabama, I think. Until we change the whole thing with the school network, until we change the way we teach our people, nothing's going
to
change.
But
I don't agree. I have the same philosophy on everything that you have. I don't have the same vision as you. I have more of a vision of Democrat. But owning up somebody, owning up a business, I agree with that. Stop acting. We let's be real. We all know that as black people, we don't talk about owning up something. We always talk about go get a degree, go get your college degree, go get whatever degree you need, and work for somebody. I never hear black people go get a degree, any degree you want, and you're going to do something with that degree and stop being dependent on working on somebody. Because you're saying you're dependent on government, I could say you're depending on a job.
But how?
Come on,
okay,
same philosophy.
Hold
on a job.
But the thing is, we change with our own. It's up to us now. It's you and I.
Yes.
So now we are the leaders of. So you and I, we're both Democrat and Republican. We don't agree politically, but we do agree that we need to be independent and free, right? So why is it that we can't do this on our own? Why can't we, you and I, partner together and start developing programming that's going to help people in our own communities become free?
Because when you bring them to them, they say things like, oh, really, do I need to invest? Oh, really, do I need to do the work? Oh, really, do I need to do new things? You can even bring them the whole thing. You can even – you know how many black people I go to the point of telling them, here's a program that I spend money on, $5,000, Amazon.com. That shows you every little thing, how to get your own product, do your own driving and everything. I even gave them the program. Tried to go back to them 2 months or 3 months ago, say, oh, man, I can't get money and everything. Did you go to the course I gave you for free,
you know,
that I paid
Stanley,
for my money
Stanley,
and I gave it
you
for
know
free?
What?
Did you
Stanley,
go through that? No.
You know what, Stanley? I can't even argue with you right now because you're right. Because I've done it too. So, but you can't stop.
Tracy,
Kalina, man, don't
say
nothing stupid.
I don't know why you asked me something. Instead. That's
I'm not asking
softball.
You nothing right now.
I know. Okay, let me just say, don't set nothing up because it's going to be the same.
You're going to say something stupid.
Don't set nothing up. I'm saying you got to give an example. Let's just keep politics out of it. This is human to human. You're going to say to me, how can we get a group of black folks to think independent, right, as Alabama and whatever is going to go on about it? Okay, give an example. Don't come to somebody with a lecture. Lecture is going to do nothing. You can't do nothing with a lecture. Come with an example. Show that John Doe, John Black, let me just finish my statement. Show John Black is successful and independent by doing X, Y, and Z. And you, too, can follow this example. You can do X, you can do Y, you can do Z, and you can do just like him, and this is the results. That's an example. You can't.
But, okay, so hold. So, Covina, man, I'm an example.
Man.
I'm an example.
But, Covina,
myself.
Man.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, Alabama. You were first.
No, my point is with Covina, man, he made a great point. I see, that's the thing. I don't just listen to Covina, man, and just want to disagree because I don't like him. I don't have nothing against him. But my point is, when he just made that point, That's marketing, and I agree. And you talk about your own example, your own life, just like with Stanley. Stanley said what he did. I'm willing to bet $1,000. You can't even take those same guys, Stanley, show them a video on YouTube explaining certain. They won't even, within 30 seconds of the video starting, they're going to start talking about something else, daydreaming, getting on the cell phone. They just, they don't have an attention span. They don't have the discipline to do it. That's the fact. That's really the truth.
Hold on. Alabama, this, what Stanley said, this wasn't a lecture. He said, I paid my money. You do what you do. You go here. You give them a roadmap. You tell them how to get it done. And then they come back, and you go see them in a little while, and they haven't done anything from there. That wasn't a lecture. He gave them everything that they needed. And I can say I have had people. I told them, I will help you. I will fund whatever you're needing to do. All you're going to do is this, this, and this, and this. And if they said, oh, I got to work at it, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what Stanley said. Stanley didn't
no,
say
it's
I lectured them and told them.
Yeah,
he said I gave them what they needed.
Yeah, it's a program that I done, and I did the research, and I said, you know what, I need to learn how to sell things on Amazon because Amazon is just jacking up the price, and I need to do have my own product. So I went to a course, it cost me $5,000, did it. Done is doing very well with money with that. I'm very happy with that. And other people are like, well, how come you're making money? And I'm like, look, okay, what am I gonna, I'm going to do a little test because they're all going to say, why $5,000? I ain't going to spend that money. I got no money. Even though you, I see you waiting online, waiting all day for, like you said, the Jordan shoes or whatever. So I said, fine, I'll give it for free. I'll give it to you for free. Here's the download program. Here it is. Every file, everything that I explained to you, point to point how to do it. 2 months later, did you start doing that?
No.
Oh, man, Stanley, I was busy, man. Oh, man, Stanley, you didn't take two. How busy were you? Couldn't you take 2 or 3 hours instead of watching TV and just prepare your business? Oh, man, you know,
and
things
that's, and that's what and you got to give it to him. That is true, but you just can't stop. We can't stop at that one person.
Yes, let me say too. This
no, Covina, man, because you're gonna say something stupid.
No, it's not gonna be anything something stupid. I'm keeping all the politics. It's person to person. Now, you're looking at people that Stanley's talking about. There's a group of us that's dysfunctional, right? So you can't bring quality stuff to the dysfunctional level of people. When Alabama is talking about owning businesses and all that stuff, that's not you can't target the dysfunctional. You got to target the intellectual middle class people. Stanley and people like myself, people educated, got degrees, and have money.
No,
okay.
You don't.
I'm just saying. Human to human. I'm just saying. You got to give an example to those people, not to the ones that the low hanging fruit. They're set up for failure. They already gonna fail. We already know that.
No, I don't agree with you. Listen, I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. Listen.
Okay.
Now, Covina, man, you really telling the truth. I can't even argue. My thing is with a lot of people, I got homeboys, man, will sit there and pull mouth up. They can't get nothing. I can't do this. I can't do that. But they'll sit
but
there
they
when you
do try.
Something. When you
know
get
why
some
they don't
things,
even do what
when
they
you
do,
get some things, when I had my comedy club, when I had my concerts, I was promoting all this different stuff, they the first ones at the front door. Hey, man, that's just – But you know what I'm saying? But they ain't got no drive and motivation themselves. And I'm sorry, there is a high number of black people that don't have the guts and balls to go out there and start something, but they want a job. So it's not everybody's not going to understand that message of self-help and getting out there doing something for yourself. But the ones that can, like Covina Man was just talking about, those are the ones that you spend your time and effort on. I get tired of showing people videos and books and, hey, man, look what I found. Isn't this exciting? And I'm talking to myself. They don't care.
And you could take the same thing, the same philosophy with books, with the business. You could take the same philosophy when it comes to weight. You could take the same philosophy. You know how many times I gave a total beach body, every program, Turbo Life, you name it, cost me 2,000 Gs. Gave it for free for the person. Here's the CD. Even burned the CD. Oh, 3 months later, how come you're still in the same shape you do? Oh, well, you know, Stanley, did you use the DVD that I gave you that shows you what you need to do every day to work out, tells you the program, tells you the food you need to do? Oh, well, you know, Stanley, forget you. You don't want it. You don't want to lose weight. You don't want to have money on your own. You want to keep on complaining. You want to keep on being who you are, and you want us to take to feel sorry for you.
Let me tell you what they're going to say to you, though, Stan. They're going to be like, look, you know, it ain't that easy. I mean, you know, everybody ain't in your situation. Everybody ain't in your situation. Like, how did I get in this situation? How did I get to where I can do this and do that? How did I get to this point where I've, you know, people talk, I had a homeboy tell me I'm lucky. I just was lucky because we came from the same neighborhood, same high school, everything. But I'm lucky. He's not. And every time I tried to do something, he was right there. He said he was going to do it, never pulled a trigger, never did anything. Then when I get somewhere and get any type of level of success doing something, he the first one, man, you just lucky from your situation. So he can sleep better at night because he know he wasn't man enough. He sat there and watched me from the start. He was scared, bagged out, and saw me succeed. So in order for him to sleep at night, he got to say I was lucky.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all week, every day, I'm waking up, doing this and everything. Every day, I'm watching at least 10 or 12 hours on business, how to do better copywriting, how to put the price higher, how to do this, how to do that. 12 hours of reading and studying and saying, oh, I didn't know that, and going to the website and doing this and having
but all this. Not, Stanley, let me tell you one of the worst things I hate about our community is, if they catch you and you're in the midst of trying to grow something and you're trying to build something, we're quick to come up and say, if it was so right, why you ain't made this? Why you ain't got this yet? I mean, you've been talking about this for years, and you ain't this and you ain't that, as if they don't know your resume, as if they don't see, okay, well, I have succeeded. You was there. You saw me with this. I didn't know the housing market was going to burst like it did. I'm sorry, it's one of the worst housing bubbles ever to come through the history of America happened when I started making my money. But you saw me. You know what I was capable of doing. You know what I'm doing now. But when you get back, they're going to be the main ones sitting there saying, I knew you can do it.
Hey Bama, I think that, and Stanley too, man, I think that once a person gets to a certain age, you really can't reach them the way you could if you were trying to teach somebody growing up. I may not agree with Umar Johnson on probably hardly anything, but he has the right approach of starting a school, starting at the grassroots. You got to start when the people are in primary school, middle school, high school. You got to teach them early to head in that direction, because once they become, mess with the girls and mess with the homies and doing all this, it's too late. You can't reach them with, you can't have no books or videos, nothing. They're done. You got to start with the people when they're young and still impressionable.
You won't hear no argument here. I won't disagree with you. I mean, I feel like most times when you try to reach out to people that are grown, good luck. I mean, they're hard-headed. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, but, I mean, then I'm starting to realize maybe you just was made a certain way. Not to say you're better than the next person, but it's just like, man, they don't see this? Like, I'm like, why is it this person can't grasp a simple concept? Like, I got a friend of mine, hadn't worked in a year and a half, 2 years, but I tell him, I said, man, go get you a trade over there at the community college. You know, it's real cheap down here in Alabama. Man, go get you a trade, man. Go learn how to do plumbing or something, 6 months. Yeah, man, I'm going to do it. Won't do it. Refuses. Then he called me, talking about he depressed.
Yeah.
I'm like,
cool.
Then his mama cussing and screaming at him. I'm like, she should. She should be ashamed. I mean, you sitting at the house, a grown man in your 30s, ain't doing nothing, and talking about you depressed. But put a big butt in his face. Watch the pep in his step in. I'm just, maybe he's just wired that way. I don't. Maybe people just, well, it's almost, I hate to say it, it's almost like natural selection or survival of a social Darwinism. I don't subscribe to that. But certain people, man, just don't have it. I hate to say it like that because it don't mean I'm better than them. But they lack certain, skills. I just see it.
Yep. No, but when somebody's depressed and things like that, and if they don't see that there's a possibility, they don't see greatness in them when they should see it. Like your friend that you're saying that he doesn't see greatness, he doesn't believe that if he does the trade, he'll make money. He doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't believe that he can make it. And until if you don't do that first step of believing that you deserve to have that money, nobody's going to give you that money. If you don't believe in yourself that you deserve to earn $1 million, $100,000, whatever money you want to go,
you deserve it, and you're ready to do whatever it takes
to get it.
Exactly.
Because
the type of will and desire, I listen to all of this too, is motivational. I like T.D. Jakes, even though I don't subscribe to his doctrine. I listen to some of his sermons because he's motivational, Les Brown. I listen to that stuff because I put myself in a frenzy, and I'm gravitating in the direction that I want it to go in. Is it going as fast as I want it to? No, it never does. Yeah. I want it in 2 weeks. But at the same time,
right,
I'm moving in that direction.
And you have to be accountable, and that's another thing. If you didn't do the job that you needed to do, pick yourself up and say, be honest with it, and don't go to somebody who's rich and everything. Oh, no, man, I've done everything, man. And you know you're lying. You're lying. You're lying.
Hey, you guys.
You're lying
you guys,
to yourself. You're lying to the person who's going to help you. And that person who's trying to help you say, I'm not going to take you. You're not serious. I'd rather have somebody tell me the truth. You know what, Stanley? For two months, I've done nothing. I didn't do any of the modules you've done. I'll take that person over somebody who's lying to me. Same thing with weight. Same thing with everything. When I hear Tracy say, well, you know, it's hard for me to lose. Remember 1 week when she didn't work out and she was doing this and this and that? You're lying, Tracy. You're not putting it as a priority, period. That's why you're not losing
weight. She just started within the last month or two starting
exactly
to really work
how
out.
How long have we been hurrying this? How long?
Yeah, because she
long
admitted it. She said, I wasn't working out. Yeah, she said that for a while. Now she's back into it. But for a while, she wasn't doing it. She said it wasn't.
Exactly. How long? And then you come back to me and say, Stanley,
well, when somebody says something,
be,
says,
we can't
you don't
all be
understand
losing weight.
I work
really
out in the weight. This doesn't come
really
out. It doesn't come out because you sat up there for 6 months not touching the weight.
Do you truly believe that you worked out for 6 months? Let's be honest, please.
No, I don't.
Hey, there you go. So let's be honest. If she tells me, look, here's
she admitted
here's the
though. She admitted.
Everything.
We call this show all the time. She admitted that she wasn't working, hadn't worked out in a while.
Of course. So don't be surprised the results
not
that come back to me
ain't falling
me,
off.
Well, Stanley, you know, we can't all lose the weight. Really? Did you do 6 months? I dare anybody to go get a trainer and try to and eat properly for 6 months and show me you can't lose weight. Show me. Don't show me what with your words. Show me what your actions. Show
you
me.
Got
a,
you
show
got
me
a tip of 1% that's true for. And they got thyroid issues. Everybody else just lazy. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I know. I hate to say it. Everybody else just don't want to put this. Don't want to go through the pain.
600. The number is 347-945-5229. I had a guest schedule, and I don't know where they are right now, so we're going to continue conversation where we are. Where did you guys leave off at?
Well, we lived off on something that's not very good for you, Tracy.
Oh, my goodness.
we talked about you. You talk about being accountable for business. Where's your accountability for your health?
What do you mean I'm not accountable? Well,
not accountable for your health because many times I listen to your show and say, man, you know, this week I didn't train. Man, didn't you know this week?
No,
and then you
no,
come
no,
back
no, Stanley,
and,
Stanley, Stanley, Stanley.
Let me finish, let
no,
me
no,
finish.
No, no, no,
you
let can't,
finish,
you can't wait on
let
this
me
one.
Just finish
have
this
you,
part,
have
and that's
have
just
you
what
checked
you
my page
think
out?
Go ahead.
Have you? I mean, I'm going to the gym 3 times a week. What do you want?
Yes, I know.
I'm doing 3.5
eating,
hours
I know, Tracy.
I'm eating yogurt instead
of pancakes. Tracy, it's been a long time. It's been a long, long, long time that you should have been to where you're at. If you made it a priority, if you would have said, I'm going to put my health as much as a priority as, I don't know, as politics or something.
Didn't I tell you yesterday? Did you miss the conversation yesterday? Did you miss it when I said it takes people a while to wrap their head around what's necessary? Did you miss that part? I was very, very transparent with you. I said,
when it comes to money.
No,
or politics.
No, but money, whether it be money or politics. But every now and then, remember, we're still, if you look overall at all the urban settings across the country, there is a high disproportionate rate of unemployment, underdeveloped economics, and undereducated, overwhelming a high incarceration rate, very, very high unemployment numbers. This is disproportionate across the country when it comes to a certain segment in a different geographical location of America. And the problem is...
To interject, what Stanley was just talking about, like in Rocky III, when they were talking to Mr. T, they say, what's your prediction for the fight? He said, pain, like that. It's pain. When you try to get out of something, being poor, being fat, out of shape, it takes pain. And if you don't want to go through that pain and uncomfort, you ain't going to get there, period, point blank.
But pain ain't consistency. But did you need to be
listen,
consistent.
But what I'm saying to you is, and this is not an excuse for either one, you have to change your paradigm, and you have to change your attitude, and you have to change your education, and you've got to change what's around you. Now, we have a problem. And the problem is we are being polarized one from another because we think one thing is good and another thing is bad, not realizing that all of it together, soda pop is bad across the board. So people thought that if I go to diet soda, it'll help me out. Finding out diet soda is worse off than regular soda. So I just need to cut all sodas out completely.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to our infrastructure within our urban settings, there are some things that are going on inside of our communities that is actually killing us. And we who have a solution are going on with our vaccine and saying let them die. That's a problem. Because we know what the problem is, and we have a solution to the problem, and if we had the same attitude as they did in the 60s when they did the Civil Rights Movement and the Southern Leadership Council and all of them, we would not be in this predicament. But because it's all about me, myself, and I, and we don't care if the people that we leave behind drown, we are where we are. That's a problem. People lost their lives so we could do what we do today, yet we're not willing to give up any of our discomforts for other people who we've left behind. When I purchased power today and talked about fathers, do we understand that we emasculate our men today to where they cannot become fathers even if they want to become one? I mean, did y'all miss when I said that a good mother would never take her child that far away from her son, her son's father, her child's father, but we do it because we're mad at him?
But we do it also because the legal system is favorable to women more than men also.
But I'm talking about, but if I care about my child,
yes.
If the legal system, if I care about my child, I know that that child needs his father in their life so that he can become successful, no matter what bad choice I made in my sperm donor.
Well, no, these women feel like they don't need a man. These women feel like I don't need a husband. I can be the father and the dad in the moment.
I miss Tracy.
What'd you say, Steve?
I was going to talk about the issue that you were talking about the first time. I agree that I would always was for us owning our own business. And, I mean, I was always for black people owning their own businesses. And plus, I was always the type of person that says we do have people in our race who do have money, and a lot of times we wonder why people in our own race is not doing more to help their own people to have black-owned businesses. I know that there are some in our race that are doing those things, and we do have people in our race who are successful. But another thing we have to learn that we're not a majority.
But that doesn't matter.
But that's what hurts us so much.
No, it doesn't matter. See, my minority working collectively together will outrule any majority every day of the week.
So, Ms. Tracy, the same year you were born, the Civil Rights Bill was passed. And that meant that we wanted to be a part of the majority. We wanted to be accepted by European American.
So we were.
And so since we integrated, as you always say, that's what hurt us as a people, because now we gotten away from supporting our own businesses. And of course, our problem still goes back to the time of Tulsa, Oklahoma, as I always bring up. And of course, when Brother K
He was a brother I truly looked up to. He had a lot of information and stuff like that. I really enjoyed...
Keep on going, Steve. Keep on going, because I didn't got that much time.
Well, I don't have much time either, Mr. Hickey. But about fathers, my father never was in my life. Plus, I never got married, never got a woman pregnant. So I wish my father was in my life. I don't know if my father... I think that some fathers are good men and good men for their sons, and then there are a lot of fathers who are abusive and not so good. So, I mean, I stand up for fathers who believe in the Bible and who are pretty much religious men and, you know, do as the Bible says, how the Bible tells a father not to... be harsh with their kids. It says, you fathers, do not be agitating your children or bringing them up in the mental regulation of the Lord.
Okay, keep on going, Steve.
That's the kind of father that young men need. Fathers that teach them about
God. But Steve, you're right. You're right. The question is, where do we start? Because we cannot continue. See, I don't believe God wants us to sit up and talk about this forever and never do anything. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And right now, we are sitting on our laurels waiting for someone else to come and bail us out instead of doing it our own selves. We've got enough aptitude, money, resources, and time that if we work together collectively, we can get things done.
Ms. Tracy, here again, I used to remember the guy that used to, Brother Kay used to bring a guy from Mottech, and he said the reason why a lot of times black people aren't successful because those who, many individuals who are in power tell them not to help.
You missed my point. See, I'm a free woman. I can do whatever I choose to do. The question is, what am I going to do to make sure?
No. Really saying we really can't do anything without outside help.
No, what I'm saying is you can't do anything without outside help from us. It begins with me. I'm not waiting for the government. I'm not waiting for someone else. I'm talking about you and I, people who are on this program. I'm talking about us. When do we start doing something for our own selves and for our own people and quit preaching and talking about stuff and just doing it?
Tracy, can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
Why should black folks or anybody focus on, let's see, we should do an interracial socialism or whatever. We're going to help ourselves. We're going to just donate ourselves. I'm asking you a question. Why should we focus on that instead of focusing on everybody who people have the most money, which is like the government or the businesses? Why can't they help black people? Why is it black people can only help black people?
Because it's not black people helping black people. It's about people helping people, but not depending on the government. You need to pull up yourselves by the bootstraps and do what's necessary with what's in your hand. Waiting for the government to come and help you with another government program is not going to take you anywhere. The problem is we have what we need in our hand. And our problem is we're too lazy and we're too apathetic to get it done.
Okay, so let me.
And see, you keep on going back to the government. I'm trying to say the government programming over the years, if government programming would have helped us, we'd be further along. But the government has put billions of dollars into our community, and guess what? It's not working. So we need to do it ourselves and then let the government catch up.
Yeah, explain that to me. I'm asking. Let me ask specifically.
Hey, hold on. Okay. I've got a guest in the studio, but I'm going to do it this way. Hold on, Sal. Remember, let's do Head Start. We know Head Start has been around for 50 years. So anytime you have Head Start, and it starts with nursery school, and it matriculates all the way up with early education programming, and the government has run this program ineffectively, because right now we still have children inside the inner city who are impoverished in the third grade that can't read. So So after 50 years, you figure out a program that you're still funding is not working when it's not working, and you still can't read by the third grade, which means you can't learn by the fourth grade. And most of the inner-city schools across this country where there is a high, high poverty rate, where there is a high under-education rate, high, and we're wondering what's wrong? It's because we haven't taught our people how to deal with it themselves, how to be a parent, how to be a sister, how to be a neighbor, how to sit down and read to our children. When you go inside of a home, you got more CDs and you got more DVDs and you got more movies than you do books. That's a problem. You go to Sunday school and the kids can't read. You know the kid can't read. So tell me this. Why aren't you having reading programs to teach the kids how to read? Teach them phonics inside Sunday school. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
She did not answer my question.
South Carolina, hold on. South Carolina, before I go, make your comment.
Oh, no, you're spot on. I've been involved with Head Start for a number of years. And it's true. I mean, you know, you can tell which children are going to be successful and which ones are not going to be successful by the interaction that the parents have. So, you know, Head Start's been around for years, and other programs have been around for years, but these programs were successful and were designed for us to be successful, we'd be way ahead of where we were years ago, and we're not. We've been
so
deep,
now
deep
my
red.
Responsibility. I am my brother's keeper. I'm responsible. You know, I've got to go. I got a guest in the studio. I'm going to turn the phone mics, the internet off, so you guys continue the conversation. South Carolina, you run with this. Make sure that they don't talk on top
all
of each
right.
other completely, because what we're doing is local.
Okay.
But I want to say this before I go and do that. We need to understand this, and we need to get a grip on this. The Israelites came out of Egypt, 1 million-plus strong. And because they had a slave mentality, instead of them going out and crossing through the Red Sea and then trying to find water, because with 1 million people, they could have dug a well. They whined and moaned and waited for somebody to come along and feed them and water them. We need to understand true freedom makes you have to do things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You depend upon your God. But you use that's what's in your hand because he has given us the ability to do that which is necessary. Our problem is we're waiting for someone to save us, and all they're going to do is put us back in bondage again. Mm-hmm. Freedom is about accountability. God gives you choice to be free, but you just don't sit back and do nothing waiting on free. Free makes you work because he who does not work should not eat. And right now, the government, the system is making us not work so that they can make us slaves. I'll see you guys when I get done.
Hey, South Carolina.
Man, that was just some talking point nonsense. She
What's
had
up, Mike?
A bucket of words that have nothing to say.
She said a lot. The problem is
she said
people
nothing.
Promising you stuff, to them it is a 9-to-5 job. They don't care about you when they go home. They're not concerned whether or not you eat. They have a 9-to-5 job. They get paid every Friday, whether they help you or not, because they are bureaucrats in a government program.
Yeah, maybe you have an
exactly.
interpreter.
Pretty much.
Maybe you had an interpreter, but she didn't say nothing about that. She was talking about schools. She was talking about Head Start. That had nothing to do with what you just said. You just
yes,
made
it
that
does.
Up, man.
Yes, it does. Did you see 60 Minutes this week? Did you see 60 Minutes? Marcus Roberts, the blind jazz musician, turned 50, and they did a piece on him. He went to a blind school at 10 years old in Florida. That was 40 years ago. His music teacher down there, who taught him how to read music in Braille, sat him down the first day and said, Marcus, here's the way life is. If you don't develop some skills, and then you add to that you're blind, and you add to that you're black, you will not have a successful life. You need to learn something. You need to develop some skills. And that's all Tracy is saying. With no skills and no self-initiative, no one has a successful life in this society, except a privileged few. If your last name is Kennedy or Rockefeller, and great-great-grandpa died and left you rich. That is not the reality for most Americans.
That is 100% true.
Well, that may be true. Let's just say that may be true. That's nothing what she just said. I asked her a specific question. She went off and found that old talking point and just started, well, let's talk about Head Start, and went off on that. I asked her a specific question.
Because you said the government should help us. She used Head Start as an example of a failed government program designed to do a good thing, and it has accomplished nothing in 50 years.
I asked her a question. Maybe you can answer the question.
Hold on. Ask the question now, Kalina. Ask the question.
Yeah. I asked, why is it she's looking for black folks to do some kind of intra-racial, within race, socialism program to try to help each other, but we can't do the same thing to ask for people who have more money, which is government or corporations, to do the same thing? Why is it we have to look for it within the race? That's what I just asked her. That was it. And she went off about Head Start.
We're talking about the race.
Because
we're talking about black people. It could be anybody. It could be one black guy and one blind old white guy. We could make it happen. We don't need to turn to government to solve every one of our problems. They move too damn slow.
Did you hear
when I was 5 years old, I went into the federal system being the first blind child, expecting the government would help me in public school. What I learned early on in life was they move too slowly. They have great intentions and can get nothing done. By the time they solved my problem, I was 3 years past when I needed the solution. And that was something as simple as getting a book recorded onto reel-to-reel tape.
Okay. I want to ask you guys a question because Mike said something. He said the bureaucrats have a 9-to-5. At the end of the day, they don't care about you. I take it you're meaning those who work in the government system. But wouldn't you also say the same from the private sector? Because at the end of the day, that employer uses you to produce a product he needs, and at the end of the day, he goes home. He could care less about you.
And let's assume both are actually true, because they are.
That's true.
At least
that's
the employer from 9-to-5 gave you some money, so now you have some choices. The bureaucrat gave you nothing but good promises and intentions, and he goes home to his nice home with plenty of food in the refrigerator, and he doesn't have to think about you until Monday morning.
But that's not true.
Meanwhile, you're the one who ends up living your life 24/7 that sucks.
Yeah, okay. And Diva,
that's kind of not true, because when you're receiving government assistance, you have more security than you do working at a job, especially in a state where it's at will. Your job, your job can go and determine at any time, whereas if I'm a single
Diva,
mother, and I want to listen to me. Let me finish. I have not spoken this whole time. If you are a single mother and you are working 40-plus hours a week and you are receiving something from the government, you're receiving that child care subsidy that will allow you to put your child in daycare so you can go to work. You're receiving food stamps. So, yeah, you're not making as much as people think you should make or say you should make, but at least you're working and you're getting food stamps to help feed your family.
But you're working.
Even if you're getting some type of – but the fact of the matter is you are getting something. Now, you are getting something to help you with the private sector job that's not paying you enough for doing the work
that you are
doing.
It doesn't matter. It's teaching you. You're learning things.
Because you're just learning to work.
Diva, the thing that you have to understand is – you are focusing on your security, on having other people control your security. You're supposed to control your own security because the government could take out your money just like that, and your employer, the person that you're working, could take out your life just like that. You have to find a way that if those two things happen, that I could still live this life. And the only way you could do that is by owning up something that is yours.
That's not true because even as a business owner, you're still worrying about your security because
as a business owner, the only person I'm worried about is I need to find a way to make sure that whatever I have to give has to be sold by to my customer.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing I have to do. But I have more control of that compared to a person who's working for me that depends on my money or depends on anything. And tomorrow I could come.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I could come
you
as
may
a boss.
Have you have you may have more control, but to say that you are more secure and independent is not
true. Of course
I am. Because you are dependent upon customers. You are dependent upon people buying the product. Without those customers, you are not. And then you are working yourself as a slave, basically.
Oh, man.
No, it's not the same thing. Wait, let me show you the difference. Let me show you the difference. Diva, there's a difference. I'm still learning things. Yesterday I did 12 hours on copywriting and things like that. I still have the possibility to know how to improve, to make sure that whatever I sell goes better. As an employer, you don't have that control. As an employer, you go get any degree that you want, and you go to your boss, and your boss basically going to say yes or no that he's going to give you that position. And even if you bring all the degrees in the world and tell him, look, I can make it and this and that, if the boss tells you no, you're done.
You have the control to make your own decisions. That is true. But the fact of the matter is when people talk about, oh, if you're a business owner, you're doing it on your own, you're not dependent on anyone else, that is absolutely not true. Because without
Diva.
A customer base, without you striving to market to that customer base and building that customer base, building your business without customers, you have nothing. So, in fact,
Let me explain it this way, guys. If you are dependent on government, or if you are dependent upon government subsidies, and dependent upon government, entitlement plans to give you money every month, depending on the way elections go, your security can be blown out of the water by a single vote, by a single election cycle. It can be decimated. Okay. Just like that. Whereas with Stanley, where I agree with Stanley, what Stanley is saying, as a business person, what you have done, you become self-sustaining. And when you get in business and work business, you understand that, hey, I may have a bad year, I may have a good year, I may have a good week, I may have a bad week. But you learn the things you need to do to sustain yourself and keep yourself where you don't have to be at the mercy
I'm not disagreeing with the fact that you guys are saying, well, you're learning and you're sustaining. But this ideal that just because you are a business owner, you're more freer and more independent than someone who works for someone or someone who is on the government is not true. In the real sense,
you have responsibilities, Diva. Diva, you have responsibilities.
Freedom and independence, that is not true.
Diva, you have responsibilities. Can you guys hear me? Or am I just talking to myself?
Far more disposable income than welfare recipients.
2008. See, it's about. It really, when you look at it, it's really about ideology. It's really about,
it's
okay,
not ideology. Bill Gates is independent. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are independent. Don't sit up here and tell me that a millionaire that owns a business isn't independent. That's just crazy.
It's more about ideology. I'm looking to a customer base instead of someone who's looking to the wealth, to the government to get what they need.
Okay, so if you own a 200-unit apartment building, you're not independent?
No. Because you are dependent.
You know what? That tells me about your financial. That tells me where you are financially. That tells me your financial business, because you don't understand business if you don't think that.
200 units are not renting. What if those
units
are not renting? What if they're not paying their rent?
Then what's your mailbox and your welfare check is not there? See, you're looking for security. You're looking for
You kept repeating no security.
Well, if a welfare check in a mailbox has security, then no, we can't compete against that with reality
and self-determination.
I'm not saying one is right or wrong. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying
you're better to own a 200-unit apartment building than any day, even if it's vacant. Even if it's vacant, I got some wealth. What you talking about?
Let me tell you something about renting. Hold on, Diva. Let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you what Alabama was saying. If you have a 200-unit apartment complex, okay, you know, and you always want to keep 100% occupancy. But if you are making 90% occupancy, you know you have a baseline of income that's coming in every month. You know what your maintenance costs are going to be. You know what your mortgage cost is going to be. You know what your management fee is going to be. You know what your life, if you have, if you're paying water, you pretty much can estimate what your water's going to be and everything else. And everything else.
I want that to happen because I got insurance.
If an earthquake and your insurance,
you
have insurance. Even in a lot of cases, if you have an earthquake and it destroys a complex, that could be a windfall because insurance is going to pay out of the wazoo.
I'm dancing in the streets if I have an earthquake.
And the thing that you don't understand, also, if we take the example of 200-unit, Diva, the thing that you don't understand, that person who has the 200-unit could tell you, that person that has the 200-unit, wait, Diva, that person that has the 200-unit, let's say he gains, I don't know, $500,000, and he says, I want to get $1 million. He just needs to repeat what he learned of those 200 units, and he'll go to $1 million. Now, as an employer, try to go to your boss and say, you know what? You're paying me $50,000 a year, but I was responsible for making sure that your sale in your business was 50%. So you should be paying me $100,000 a year because I am responsible for that. You go to your boss,
again,
you do presentation, you show
me,
wait, Diva, you show all that.
No.
Who's going to make the final decision? Your boss is going to see his interest and say, I ain't going to pay you $100,000, even though maybe in your mind you deserve it, because I'm not going to pay you that.
I think you have the same problem with you guys the Kazina Man had with Tracy. When someone says something, you take it in the realm and you take it somewhere else. I'm not saying
you said it was
that
more secure to have
it.
A welfare check. That's where you started
it.
This.
Please.
I'm sorry, as a tenant in that 200 apartment building, you do not have more security receiving a welfare check than the owner of the building.
Let her finish. I want to hear what she has.
Hang on a second, guys. Let her finish.
I didn't talk over anyone. I just listened. So please, just give me the courtesy. I'm not saying that you do not have more independence as a business owner to make your own decisions. What I am saying, and we have shown that in a bad economy, everyone is susceptible. Not one, whether someone is on welfare or someone is a job or an employee or someone is an employer, we are all susceptible to this game of life because we all can lose what we have. You being a business owner does not make that any more likely to not happen than someone who is receiving government assistance. I'm not saying that government assistance is better. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when you guys sit up here and say, you get a business owner, you guys make it seem like you have a business, you have no problems with the world, it's carefree, it's independent, and that's not
true. Oh, you have bigger problems, but they're worth it.
But the thing you don't understand, Diva, is during the time that you're saying that we had a recession, people were still making money.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what you don't understand. During that time that everybody was freaking out and saying, oh, my God, the recession, there was people who were millionaire who were becoming more millionaire. There was business owners who knew what they needed to do.
Stanley, if I gave you a 200, a vacant, hold on. Stanley, if I gave you an empty 200-unit apartment building, what would you be happy? Because that's probably a million-dollar piece of property. I'm just giving you a million. When you go to the bank, you have leverage now. So either way, you don't lose. That's how the wealthy play. You don't lose either way. Tax write-off, you got 50 different ways to make money.
How many small businesses fell during that collapse? How many times we have to hear,
and how many welfare people during that same period of time stay broke all the way through the whole thing, good times or bad times?
How many times do we hear from Republicans and conservatives all the time due to bad...
Don't make a Republican a Democrat.
Don't make a
Republican
a
Democrat.
Because I'm a Democrat.
Where did Tracy go, everybody? Where did Tracy go?
She has a local guest with dealing with a local issue. So she'll be back.
We out of town, so we good. Okay, I just wondering.
Nothing to do with Democrat and everything. And Diva, when you're coming with the example of the small local business and saying I lost my client, this and that,
I would dare you to say that. A lot of them are not even doing their work. A lot of them are not saying, you know what, my business is going down. Let's go get the consultant.
Hold on. Let's say she's right, guys.
Something
called capitalization.
Capitalization of a business. Why they fail. I'm just simply saying that if they fail, they're going
they to
be in the same position as the same as somebody who works, somebody who's on government assistance. They're susceptible.
But they are more independent than that person because they have capitalization of that business. If you had to sell everything that was in that business, they have leverage. You don't. You don't have nothing.
Right.
But a check, a $300 check every month.
And they have a legacy they can give to another person.
Hey, guys, exactly. I'm going to give you an example of what's going on, okay? In Alabama, you and I talked about this before when we discussed about the whole IT degree. But I've come around this area. There are several. There's more than that. In the two counties, there are a bunch of properties that have gone into Fannie Mae and HUD and VA foreclosures. These properties are cycling through and they're coming up on the market. And I'm talking about properties that are selling for 13, 14. The one that I looked at earlier today is selling for $24,000. These are properties that go into a foreclosure, but if you purchase a property and do a little renovation to the property, you're talking about $600, $700, $800 per month in income, in rental income. Now, if you go out and you put a mortgage on a $24,000 house, you put in, you know, your 20% down, you're going to come out
that's
with a mortgage that looks like that's going to look like 120, 97 to 100 and some, no more than $125 a month. You rent the thing out for $800 a month, you're talking about close to $10,000 of income in a year versus the $1,200 you got to put out for your mortgage. That's a win-win situation.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. You know, and even if you don't have a renter, if you turn around and turn the property and sell the property, you're still going to get your money back and make a profit.
Because all you have in it is the $4,000 20% Diva, and you're making $10,000 a year. That is a 250% return on your money, Diva. And somebody else
that's,
is putting it in your pocket.
And that's
someone else stays up
money.
All night long, 30 days a month, wondering how they're going to pay your money to you. And if they don't, they turn out to be a bad tenant, and it takes 6 months to throw them out, and they trash the place and everything else, it doesn't matter because you were making 250% return. You wouldn't make that in a bank on your $4,000 in 50 years.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And another thing you have to understand, Diva, when you're telling me some small business loses a customer and everything, because they came with the philosophy of going with the cheapest that they want, and they got cheap customer. Instead of saying, you know what, we have a great product, let's make it the best product elsewhere, and let's make it very expensive so that we have customers that wants to pay. That we don't have customers that basically going to come to us and say, oh, well, you know, it was $29.99, and the other person gave it for $19.99, and you should be giving it for $19.99. If you're going to play that game as a business owner, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You got to play the
every
game
time.
Of saying,
Stanley?
I have a business, I have to make it successful, and I have to make it the best product, and you are going to pay $39.99 because I'm going to give you this offer. And if you don't want to pay the $39.99, go see my competitor.
Yeah. Hey, Stanley, there is a great training that I witnessed live. It's on the internet now. It's called The Four Wins. I was a kid when I heard this training, when I heard this man who was a billionaire almost 45 years ago, and he did this training. And what he says is, it's the same ocean. It's the same winds that blow for every ship out there. And tonight, some of the ships will make it back to the port with their cargo, and they will earn a profit, and other ships will be wrecked on the rocks. And the only difference is the skill of the captain. That's the only difference. So when you're telling me about small businesses that fail, Diva, it's the skill of the captain. It's not the marketplace because if you look at the biggest corporations in America and who are the billionaires that own them, every single one of them started up during hard economic times of recession.
And a lot of them have even places.
Right.
You could take a hotel. One person will pay $10,000 for the hotel. Another person will pay $1,000.
That depends
on the customer you want. I want to get the $10,000 one. I don't want to get the $1,000 one.
Yeah, half of the Forbes list of the 400 richest people in the United States, half of that list started their fortunes with less than $3,000 to work with. Diva, there's almost nobody in America who can't scrape together $3,000 if they had a great idea and were willing to work. Their friends, their family would rally, and you know what? A pizza delivery job, and you'd make that as spare money. It's making the effort. Go back to what that teacher told Marcus Robbins. Marcus, unless you learn some skills, being blind and being black, you will not have a very successful life. And that's
and what's crazy about it though, Mike, is Alabama and I had this conversation, and the daggone lights went off. There are more ways to skin a cat than what I was looking at it.
Yep.
And being in this industry that I've been in for what, almost 20 years now,
mm-hmm.
the lights finally went on, and I see how to do this now.
Yeah, exactly.
I see how to do it.
Buildings. My first two inner city buildings, I bought apartment buildings, which, by the way, within 2 years of ownership, Stanley, I was able to leverage them for $175,000 first position mortgage on them and put $100,000 in my pocket. Those two buildings cost me $29 cash and everything else was first, second, and third, and fourth position borrowed money.
Wow.
And I put $100,000 cash net with a $75,000 reserve, and I didn't own them 2 years at that point.
And that's leverage.
It was leverage. I learned the secret. Stanley, that you know about, but it took me a while. The next building I bought increased my net worth, and I only put $1,200 of cash into that building, and I was collecting, like South Carolina said, I was collecting over $10,000 a year in rent from that building net after all expenses, and that building only cost me $1,200. It's what you know. And you said it, Stanley. I think you said it. You go into these houses, or Tracy said it. You go into these houses. What do you see? You see bins full of videotapes and games and CDs and all this useless stuff that does nothing to improve your
entertainment.
Knowledge and not a single book.
Yeah. Entertainment.
I learned
because
these things from books.
Yeah. Entertainment, because people rather be entertained than sit down and say,
that's
we
right.
have a problem. I want to get money. I want to get a
it's
better
like
health. I want to do this. So it's better to be entertained and forget about that problem than to sit down and say, we have a problem. I am not getting enough with my job. I am not getting enough with this. I need to have this. What do I do?
Hey, guys.
Get the expert.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Like me, I do appliance repair. My problem is, I'm making good money. I can make a whole lot more money if I can get some of these young kids to pick up a book and figure out how to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And from the day I wrote that check for $29, which was the 28th of February, 1983, I call my Independence Day. By the way, I didn't have the 29 bucks in the bank, Stanley. That was a bad check, but I knew next year I could knock on a door and collect the rent and cover the check. Okay? Honest to God, Stanley, 37 months from that day, my real estate portfolio was worth $4.3 million, starting with a rubber $29 check. Because
that's how great
this country is. If you get off your butt, stop looking at what's wrong, stop counting on the government, and again, Tracy only used black people as an example because that's her people and that's her passion, but it could be anybody. Anybody
will succeed
in this country.
Yeah, I got two hands and one brain. But if I had two more guys with two extra hands and two more brains, I could make a lot more done in a day. But I can't because it's just me, you know?
Yeah, well.
Well, I tell you what, dealing with the passion that you got, if you was to go out there and find you a couple properties and get you a partner, find you a good partner if you're not strong enough to do it by yourself. Find you a partner. Get in it, and in 2 years, you probably could own half of Columbus.
I know.
Probably, if she bought duplexes.
You know what the easiest thing to do there? If you don't have any money, you find yourself a duplex and try to rental buy it. I'm looking at a duplex right now.
Yep.
On Midlothian Boulevard in Youngstown. And I'm going to tell you what. All brick, very nice duplex. I'm going for it. Why? Because God only made so much real estate, And so it's always going to appreciate what they're telling you, everybody that's listening, what these guys have been saying. I've been listening to you guys for the past hour and a half because I'm working hard right now.
Amen.
But it's all true.
And even if you don't, and let me just tell you, brother, even if you don't get this duplex for some reason, what you will learn going through the process will make the next one you find a snap. You're going to do it even better terms because you'll learn. Because there is no failure when you're trying. There's only lessons that you learn.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with both. The problem is a lot of people, even if you give them all the information, many times I've done, I gave them the whole book. Say, do this and come back to me if you have a problem. If you don't do what we're telling you, do not come back to the person who gives you, who has the help, and say, well, man, it doesn't work. Well, man, I can't get money. Or, well, man, I can't lose the weight. Or, well, man, I can't. You didn't do the work.
Learn how to do it. You never stop learning. You're never too old to stop learning. I mean, I plan on stopping learning when I'm dead. Until I'm going to learn as much stuff as I can about as much stuff as I can, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I'm with you.
Hey, South Carolina, the next time we have
money, sir.
Do you want to discuss you and I opening a real estate company and make some money during these hard times? Because the best time to make money in real estate is during hard times, not good times.
Well, the thing about it, Mike, is what I've looked at is I found out that I am eligible. I meet all the criteria to become a broker.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I don't have to go through that whole other process of the real estate sales. But I, because I have more than 3 years, you know, as a property manager in charge, so I can. I've qualified for that, so I can just go take the broker test and be done with it and open up my own real estate business.
Amen.
So,
but I will coach you on something there, younger brother. Okay. I was going for all my licenses about the time I was ready to make my $29 deal, which fell in my lap, and I never took the test because I found as a licensed person you were more regulated and more controlled, and a lot of what you would have just done honestly and naturally now that you have a license is all illegal.
Okay. Yeah, because anytime you bid on a property, you have to list as an agent that you're doing it for.
Yeah, you can't.
You have to tell them what you're doing.
You can't flip everything to your blind brother.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric. You call me up, man. Well, I'll be another brain and set of eyes and hands with you.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is ridiculous. If people don't learn how to win here, and we keep on screaming the thing about learning how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I bought that stuff. I ain't from America. I'm not a citizen. I bought that. There's a system here. I'm part of this thing. I was born here.
Uh-huh.
Let's work the system and get something out of it instead of sitting back here, you know, with your hands all, you know, with your nose all snotty, and, you know, and ain't doing nothing. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ridiculous.
You could buy one duplex a year slowly. You don't have to. You could do one duplex a year in 10 years, man. You ain't got to work. I mean, and I'm talking about
set for life.
Slowly, like not trying, not buying nothing over $50,000. In Alabama, where I'm from, $50,000 duplex, you making $700-$800 aside, and the mortgage is what right now? That's $250 a month. So you really bring home about $900 a month per duplex.
Yeah,
and just
and
I
if
mean,
got,
it's not hard.
It's not hard at all.
And
if you got your son or your daughter at age 18 helping you, you put them on the payroll and you pay them $2,000 a year, and you say, you're going to work with me for 12 years because you ain't inheriting everything because you're sitting on your duff. You're going to come with me and you're going to help keep the driveways clean at these places. You're going to help me paint them up. You're going to help me. You're going to earn it. And you take that $2,000 a year from age 18 to age 30 just for 12 years, and you put it into a mutual fund, an average performing mutual fund. And at age 70, they'll be worth $15 million, and that's what the market has shown. And I don't know any 70-year-old in this country today who give a darn what health care costs if he had $15 million investment portfolio. He wouldn't care about cancer, flu, prosthetic, heart disease, or anything. Not if he had $15 million in his own control.
And,
that's why,
I,
Go ahead.
That's why I get so angry when Obama made that statement. And he said, if you got a business, you didn't build that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I about kicked my TV over when he said that.
Right. Because and there's a part of that that I understand what he's saying. You know, your business was located on a street, and your taxpayers built that street. But you know what? The welfare people got to drive down that street and not contribute anything to the society, too. So don't tell me my additional effort was no big deal. It was the big deal, because apparently it's the secret and the difference in our society.
Yeah, because you've done something compared to just talking about it. And everything.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm very mad when it comes to school and everything. I think we should have teachers who are doers who teach our sons the thing how what to do, then instead of having teachers who are basically didn't do nothing and teach our son how to become somebody who's going to be dependent on an employer or an employer.
Let me ask you guys something. Let me interject something, though. This is the thing. Like, I don't have any kids. I guess I can talk like this. I don't care what school he goes to. He could be a poor, bad performing school. I'm going to take the effort. I'm going to teach him about money. I'm going to teach him about checkbooks. I'm going to teach him about credits, tax returns. I'm going to teach him about all this stuff. So it's like parents that if you the effort that they put going to the school and complaining, you can take them to a bookstore, take them to somewhere and teach them something that's really going to make a difference.
Right.
I don't care if he got a 4.0 at a good school and he get out and work for somebody else and still in debt just like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
The best investment you can do for your kid is buy a set of encyclopedias.
Yeah, yeah. And I understood what Tracy meant when you got a kid who's third grade and can't read, and you've got a church, and that kid goes to Sunday school, and that Sunday school teacher realizes this child cannot read. That church, instead of picketing or protesting the government for more handouts, ought to form a little teach our kids to read ministry, because there are some.
That's what school started as, anyway.
Exactly.
To teach you how to read the Bible. That's what it started for.
And the churches should take back the responsibility that if they see a child with a who isn't eating, if they see a child who has health problems, if they see a child who's abused, and if they see a child who can't read, and to me, a bad education is a form of abuse, because it will affect their the rest of their life. That they should the churches should practice what they preach. Step in if they're going to pass the plate. They're going to also have to pass the solution to their congregation.
I think that's a great application of the parable of the talents in the first place. Parable of the talents, you wicked, lazy servant. You could have at least took my talent I gave you and put it in the bank and let it drew interest.
I don't believe there's
so I'm going to give it to the servant that got 10 talents.
Yeah,
I'm going to
no
give it to the one that got 10.
There's no holiness and no spirituality when you see a neighbor in need and you don't do what you can do. And teaching them to read would not be all that hard.
Yeah, I can teach you how to lay a roo-hoo, but you got to pull your pants up to do it because you'll fall off that roof and break your neck.
Yeah,
I said that the other day. This guy, this cop killed his these cops killed his little kid, right? So I said, well, you know, I said that's messed up. I said that's messed up, but we need to teach our kids to pull their pants up and speak proper English and comb their hair as well.
Yeah.
And I got attacked. I got called stupid Uncle Tom Coon for saying that.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's what I'm saying. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean.
It wasn't me. I was.
Right. You can't do. Yeah, there's certain jobs out there that you cannot do walking around with your pants hanging off your butt.
Exactly.
I just think that's just stupid
in its form. As much as you train a police officer, he is a human being. He becomes fearful for his safety. He's all of a sudden, he reaches a moment where he's thinking about not going home to his wife and kids, and who's going to get the benefit of the doubt? He's going to err on the side of caution, and he's going to fire first and ask questions later in fear by what he's seeing.
But these are the same people that laugh when there was a video. They posted a video about a guy that walked in, a black guy walked in, knocked this white cash register lady, just punched her, just knocked her clean across the room, went back there, took the money, and they laughed about it.
I know.
And I'm saying, okay, now, 8 months later when some cop shoots some guy, take in mind, look at what you're glorifying, look at what you're pushing, what you're raising up in the community. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
We need to be respectable people, respectable members of society, and when they do something, I believe there should be some justice. Don't get it twisted. But at the same time, don't cry wolf.
And I understand profiling is unfair. I understand that. I really, truly do. Okay, being blind, when I go into a store, I tend to touch a lot of things. That's how I understand the merchandise. I've had store detectives follow me around because I look like a shoplifter. I understand that.
I it made me uncomfortable, but I understand it, you know. I was there to shop, and I was there to leave with the item I needed. That was what was going to make my life better, not whether or not this guy treated me fairly or they were treating me unfairly. But you do have a point where profiling does help. If a guy comes in and he looks like a gangbanger and there's a big bulge under his coat and you see him move in a kind of predatory way toward the gal at the cash register, you do tend to freak out. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I remember I saw a video online where there was a guy, and he had a small bar and grill, mm-hmm. and these a group of black women started fighting, and mm-hmm. they tore up this man's business. I mean, they flipped over tables, they were breaking beer bottles, they probably did tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage to this man's store. Now, mm-hmm. I wouldn't blame him if he was skeptical of telling you blacks in his business anymore. I wouldn't blame him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you usually find people that have nothing to lose usually don't care about other people's possessions either.
But see, women are coming to defend that type of ratchet behavior. That's something. Men is a little different. Men will call a guy out and say he was wrong. But when it comes to women, uh-huh. like when that guy with the McDonald's, that guy jumped across the, those females slapped him and jumped across the counter, he took a rod and beat him asleep, I'm uh-huh. glad he did it.
Uh-huh.
But this is, what if that was your sister? Like, my sister's not going to slap a guy, jump across the counter, and try to fight him.
And if your sister did, you'd have to side with the guy. Your sister shouldn't behave that way. If you're being honest, if you forget the fact that your sister and you share genetic material, and you get over the over-sentimentality of that fact, you go quickly on, what if that was an absolute stranger did that? What would you do? Well, you'd have to do the same with your sister. If you really are an enlightened, truly liberated human being, you don't tolerate bad behavior and violence toward others, no matter who perpetrates, even if they are related to you. It's still wrong.
And the thing that
I've actually seen that. I saw that back in the day. I don't. Parents don't do that now, but I've seen parents when I was little get on to their kids if they were wrong.
Yeah.
They didn't just take their kid's side. If a kid started a fight and everybody said that kid started the fight, they'd get on to their kid. They wouldn't be like, I don't care. You know. But now I don't see. That's rare. Rare will a parent hold their child accountable because they feel like they're angels now.
When I grew up, the standing rule at the school was if the principal had to strap you, you didn't go home and tell your parents because you'd get worse because obviously the principal was right. You know, the parents didn't care who started or anything else. You didn't have to lend yourself to it. You could have walked away.
There were a few times where if a child hit me and I got in a fight and they called my dad, I wasn't getting a whipping. My dad would be, I'm proud of you. Yeah. You should have knocked his teeth out. That's old school. But.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I wasn't raised to start fights. I was raised to finish them.
Yeah. and I think that the thing I love about what you're saying, people, is I think that we were a little bit more stronger the way our parents taught us things. Because now I'm seeing kids killing themselves because they have some people in Facebook that doesn't like them and everything. 16 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah.
But then when the kids kill themselves, the kids think it's funny.
I don't understand. We had that in New York. A 15-year-old killed herself just because some people didn't like her.
I think
the self-esteem thing. The self-esteem thing is gone. We've gone too far with this whole self-esteem. We're too soft now. With the way you can't do anything, you can't tell a child they lost a game. They can't. It's just too protected. Then they get out there and life hit them, and it's a culture shock, and they kill themselves.
Yeah, Stanley. Yeah. It's like Stanley. Stanley. I know you're very, very conscious about weight. Stanley, you're not allowed to call a kid fat nowadays. You know that?
Oh yeah.
Better not.
Wow.
You're not allowed to call them that. Even if you're right, they are. But you can't say that because you're hurting their feelings.
Listen,
but
you're
not.
Usually fat kids will whoop you too. So you got to be careful. You really didn't take on them too tough because we may joke a little bit, but the fat girl probably can whoop, especially in the fifth grade. You don't have no muscles. You can't. You girls will drag you and beat you to sleep.
Hey, guys. I was one of those quote unquote chubby kids. We went to to Sears and they buy my clothes out of the Husky section. Well, one summer my dad took me out and I went to work with him and he was a short logger. what they call it, pulpwood. I spent the whole summer working in pulpwood. I came back to school because I didn't notice it. I came back to school that following September, and everybody was like, nah, man, don't mess with Rujan. He's big. I'm like, big how? I muscled out. So
that's the funny thing about muscle, though. People look at you. Like, I had people tell me that last year when I was working out. I was working out heavy. I just started working out real heavy. I noticed a little bit, but not a lot. But I would be out playing basketball. Hey, I got big man.
Who?
Big man. You know, like, what are you talking about?
Crazy. No,
I think we silenced Diva. You give me a 200-unit apartment building over a government check any day. Unless it's a government contractor position or something like what is it? The 10 richest counties in the country, out of all the 10 richest counties, 6 of them are based off of government contracts. Like up in Maryland and out in certain parts of the
country.
Like the 10 richest counties, 6 of them are where contractors live off government jobs and just siphon off the government.
They're all around D.C. They all surrounded around D.C.
Yes, there's a bunch of them up. There's about 3 of them up there. 3 counties up there where it's just, they're the richest in the country. So they get, I know a guy that's a government contractor. I've been a contractor for the government, but this guy's like, he goes straight to the government, negotiates, gets the contract. This guy's a multimillionaire. And he flies up to D.C. He's based in Montgomery, but he flies up to D.C. And he basically is like, you know, controlled with, you know, got all this money, man. It's a trip. Got 3 and 4, you know, $200,000 cars. I mean, he's living like a king.
It makes life. As a business owner, yeah, less different than an employee. Don't think so. As a business owner,
they say C corporations have been around for 500 years, man. Christopher Columbus, they had corporations back then. So corporations they got all the leverage in the world. Mm-hmm. If you start a corporation, you got just as much leverage as Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. I mean, outside of paying for the politicians directly. But you got that kind of leverage.
Yeah. But you don't have the liberty? Please, geez. I'd rather rather fail on my own and say, look, I tried, I did this, than having a boss telling me, you're fired because, you know what?
Wait a minute now. You can lose in business and the government rewards you for that. They'll say, okay, well, you took a loss. Okay, well, just write that off. When you get fired, you just shout. You just shout. You ain't got nothing.
When you're fired, a boss could really love you and say, look, I can't pay you anymore. That's why you got to be fired. You could be.
And then they're going to fight you on unemployment. They're going to fight you. It depends on how you got let go. It depends. Yeah. Trust me, I know.
So, and you're telling me you have less power? No.
Unemployment ain't just given. It ain't just given, okay, you got laid off. Okay, well, how long were you working there? Oh, you working there 5 months? No unemployment.
Yeah.
In certain states, they got a phone number, which is always busy, to get unemployment. Unemployment is not easy to get like people think. It takes work to get unemployment.
You have to do this. No. I'm telling you, it's a total different thing. I did the same thing as you did. I took the last money that I have, $600, gave it to do my business, to give it to my own private label and everything. It was the best decision I ever took. Best decision.
That's it, man. I mean, it's all about discipline, though, man. I mean, if you you work a 9-to-5, but you got a plan, and you like I'm working now technically, but I'm technically working for myself, but I'm not. I'm a contractor, but I got a plan. I've always had a plan. I'm never gonna just sit. You could pay me $500 an hour. I'm still gonna, you know, in a year or two, I'll be putting in my notice. That's just me. I'm just not geared to punch a clock ever. That's just not my style. I just can't do it. I don't see how anybody is content doing that.
Well, they're content because they don't see any other way to make money. If people come to them and they would show them the way to make money, and they would tell them, please do it, then they would do other ways. But you need to do it. You need to take a chance. You need to get over your fear. You need to basically say, if, go to the rich people who are rich and ask them what you do and be humble about it.
Oh, yeah. I steal jobs all the time by simply underbidding them by, like, $50, you know?
You
think I'm selling myself short? No, I'm not. I got the job, and you didn't.
That's it.
Because the job thing, more and more when I hear people, oh, it's hard to find a job. That's the problem. You're not supposed to find a job. You're supposed to have a job just to maybe entertain and do something with that money. A job is not supposed to be your livelihood.
Stanley, you should have had that attitude if you make $5,000 a week or $50 a week. You say, okay, if I made $50, I'm gonna put $5 over here. If I made $500, I'm gonna put $50 over. It's a mentality. It's just a mentality, man. And for long, you focus on your plan. That's it. I hate to say it, it makes me a bad employee. It really does, and I know it does, because I count money. I look at, okay, if they're paying me $600 a day or whatever to do this, what are they making?
Exactly. And second of all, it covers your ass. If any time the boss calls you up and the famous thing and everybody's freaking out, you could be smiling saying, I have a plan B, C, D, F that helped me. So, yes, you fired me, but my business working. Okay, bye.
That's it. But you put money aside, you lose your job, you're comfortable. Like, when this project ended last week, I'm comfortable. I'm not stressing. I'm relaxed. I'm not stressing. I'm not worried about my bills. You don't worry. You're just like, okay, I'll get another job. But I'm not going to have a job for long. I'm just not. I can't do it. I don't. That's the thing. Like, people, I know people that look at it like, man, I'll do that for 30 years. Yeah, but I got a feeling.
No, the 30 years thing. Can you imagine if you take 50,000 times 30 years? Would you rather work for 2 years for somebody, or would you rather sacrifice 5 years of your life and earn that money that you earned for 30 years?
Man, it's real simple math, man. It don't even. I hate to see it when people just afraid to try. It's really fear, defeated, a fear of failure. Fear of having to go without, fear of being ridiculed and talked about. You failed. I've been through all that. People talk, so-called friends dog me out, talk about me. Bill failed. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I did. I can say I walked on water. I opened the comedy club. I did things that you've never done before. I had some success doing it.
Yeah, exactly. What you've done, even if you fail in everything, so people are going to say, oh, look at you, you failed. Yeah, but I've done it. And then you're going to succeed. What are you going to say? Then they're going to look at you and say, well, you know, you're lucky. I wasn't lucky.
Stanley, if I wanted to do what you do, I could call you up. You could give me a wealth of knowledge of what you do, even if you fail. Like, I got people calling me now asking me questions about getting the liquor license, how to open up, how to deal with the Department of Health with the food permit and all that different stuff you need to open a business. I could go out and start a consulting service just off what I do in my own comedy club. I manage employees. I make their schedules. I did everything.
Yeah.
I managed the acts. I still know the comedians by name. Some of them still call me. Like, I could promote comedy shows. It's never a failure.
And you can even do what you did. You learn as a consultant, and even do open an ebook on this, or open a program, or do a program that explains to people and sell it over the internet that explains to people how do you make a liquor lesson and explain it through videos and things like that. You make money because you have the knowledge.
That's something you will never beat out of you. You won't ever beat that out of me. I don't care how many times I fail. I failed. And I've had to lick my wounds and come back. I mean, it's just like a fight. You think you're going to win every fight. If you're a man and you done really had to deal with some go to a certain school and do this. You ain't going to let him fight. You're just not going to do it. I won my fair shadow. I got my respect that people didn't mess with me.
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell up a whole lot of stuff.
It was the hardest time when I was left with $800 in my pocket, and I knew if I would take that $800 and, oh, yeah, let's go get this, I said, look, you have the plan, you have the this, you have to do it, Stanley. So I had to take $600, $200 left, freaking out was the best decision I took. Of having my label and sending it to Amazon and this, and next thing you know, whoop, I made $1,200. Took that $1,200, $600 coming back in my pocket. Then whoop, $1,000 come in, whoop, higher, 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 and next thing you know, I was like, really? All the time I was afraid was for that.
You can't be scared, man. That's people ask me how I know so much about electrical wiring because I learned from getting shocked a whole lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
Look, sometimes fear is a good thing to me. Sometimes fear is natural. It's fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's not.
No. Being afraid is no problem. It's having the courage to pierce your fear and just you can be afraid. I have no problem being afraid. But you still have it in your mind. You still got to do it, even if I'm afraid. That's the difference. We're all afraid. I was afraid of this and that, but I still had to do it. If I didn't do it, I would have basically been in a situation saying, man, I need to go get a job. Man, please. I will never
get a job. But see, Sally, I'm sure when you, if you have failed at times, I'm sure you've had people come by and say, well, if it was such a good idea, why didn't you? If people can even give you a Monday morning quarterback and say, well, if you so such this, then why this happened and why that happened? I had a chick tell me that. When I was talking, I called Online Trading Academy. I was talking to her, and I told her I needed my money back because I was going to take the course. And she told me, she started giving me all these, these cliches about how, you're not good, you don't want to change your life. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've done a lot of stuff. I'm not the typical guy that's never tried anything in his life. I've done a lot of things. I need to do this for something else right now. And she was just basically like, if real estate was so good, then if you were so good at it, then why didn't you succeed? Like, I could have came through that phone and slapped five from her.
Why are you doing what you're doing?
Exactly. Yeah, I said, well, you touching the clock, man. You work for Online Trading Academy. Why you ain't sitting at home with a computer trading, making billions of dollars and becoming Warren Buffett?
The biggest smile you have is when you do succeed, and you don't even have to say it. You go get the car of their dream that they never thought possible. You go to the parking in front of them, and you have nothing to say. And you look at them and say, see? And then once they see that, they have nothing to say. All the time that you doubted me, all the time you thought I was crazy, when you're still working, you're working to get the 2 years or 5 years that it takes you to get this will be the 5 years it takes me 1 month to get that salary.
Look here, man, you could buy one duplex, rent that duplex out. The duplex will pay the car note. I'm talking about a $70,000-$80,000 car. I'm not talking about no little $200-$300 car note. I'm talking about a real nice car. Like, you can really comfortably buy you a $70,000 convertible Mercedes 500 S-Class and don't pay 50 cents out of your own pocket. That's not hard to do.
No, it's not hard once you know this, and once you put yourself in a mindset, oh, this person is having $10 million, why can't I? What do I need to do? Let's go get the people who did, and stop listening to people or workers who don't even have to know how to get the money.
That's what Robert Kiyosaki said. Robert Kiyosaki was like, whenever you get advice, pay attention to what quadrant that person works in that's telling you that advice. If they're an employee, if they're self-employed, they probably don't know what they're talking about. If they're a business owner or an investor, that's when you listen.
Yeah. Same thing with health, same thing with this. If I'm a health problem, I ain't going to go see somebody or a doctor or somebody who doesn't know anything as heavy as me and ask advice from them. I'm going to go see the person who's the most fit and say, what do I need to do? And be humble about it and shut up and stop with the excuse. Well, you know, he told me I need to train 6 times a week. Oh, I can't do that. And if you can't do that, you won't see the success. Tracy's talking 3 times a week. You won't see any success with 3 times a week, Tracy.
3 times is moderate enough to get some results. It's going to be slower, though. I mean, if you really want to hurt, and if you work out, what are you really doing? Like, when women work out, they're not really working out. Most of the 90% of the time, rarely do I see a chick on a squat rack with some weights really hitting it, rarely.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
if they don't squat right, they ain't got no weight on the bar, and they squatting the bar. Oh, okay, it's going to take you years to see results if you're going to take a bar with no weights on the side and squat and think you're going to get a butt, shape your behind. That's just not going to happen. You're going to have to at least put one plate on there.
Because it makes me laugh when people say, I've tried everything to weight loss, or I've tried everything. No, you haven't. Tried everything. Show me what you've done. And what you've done is not enough to get the result that you want. Try.
Say, you seen that show on MTV called I Used to Be Fat?
No, I used to be fat. And then I got
no,
to the point.
Yeah, the show, so they get a trainer, and the trainer takes the person, they're overweight, they like 300 pounds, and at the end of the summer, they're down to like 160.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
they
yeah,
put them through hell. They put them in 4 months, they put them through hell from like May to August. And when they start school in August, they down. Like there's this one chick in Cali. She was crying, and that's the type of pain you got to go through.
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah,
shut up. You ain't working for real.
I love those shows because Chris Powell is just pushing them to the, oh, well, I can't make it. Yes, you can. You better make it. You better go
to the mountain.
You better go doing this. I don't care if it takes all night. You're going to up to the mountain.
Yeah, when
and
I think about working out.
And they're trying everything
like,
possible. Go ahead.
Working out for me is like football two-a-day camp. If you ain't working out like that, then you ain't working out.
Exactly. So when Tracy's telling me she's training three times a week, what kind of training are you doing three times a week? Are you doing
not only that, you got people that run on a treadmill for an hour. Take them out on that track and tell them to run a mile under 7 minutes. See if they can do it. They can't do it. Because the track does not give. Your legs feel it. When you run on a real track, you feel it. You run on a treadmill, it creates an illusion that you're really in greater shape than you really are. When you get on that track and you run on that hard cement and it's not collapsing like that treadmill will, your legs are burning faster.
This is exactly what I'm updating my website, and I'm going to answer the question on Tracy. I'm going to do the website that's going to go step one, step two, step three, step four, of course, subscription. But I'm going to go through the whole detail so you have no excuse. I'm going to make sure I'm going to try to get Tony Orton. I'm going to try to get all the experts, all the people in nutrition, all those things. Give it to my
man. If you just take women don't need super heavy weight training, but if you take weight training and good decent cardio, maybe 20 minutes of good HIIT cardio, high intensity interval training cardio, and then do some real working like hitting the weights, you don't have to work out no more than 45 minutes, but hit it hard, no talking, and I promise you, in a matter of like months, weights will just come right off.
And I agree with you. I agree with you so much. It's like, that's when I think I told my girlfriend, like, you need to hit it hard. You need to want it more than anything in the world. You're saying I'm
going to go to jail with you, is she?
If you don't want it as hard as I want it, then you won't see the result. You won't lose the weight.
That's my girl. I take her to the gym, and I hit it. And she don't like working with me. That's too heavy. I'm like, did you finish it? Did you get all 12 reps in? Yes. Well, it's not too heavy. You did 12 reps. And you did
that. Yeah.
You struggled at like the last two or three. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. That last one's supposed to be hard.
Exactly. They're like, well, I'm going to do 15 reps with 20 pounds. Like, yeah, but you ain't feeling nothing.
Exactly. You're not changing anything in your body. And then you're like coming back to me 3 months, 6 months. Well, Stanley, I've tried everything and I'm not losing the weight. Really?
I'm going to tell you this one thing I figured out. I'm going to tell you something I figured out, though. This is the easiest way to get a woman into working out. This is what I feel. Tell her, look, let's go for a walk. They think that's romantic. Take them somewhere to a little park somewhere. If you're in New York and Manhattan, take them to Central Park. And go walking. Walk Central Park 3 times. Nice. And she's going to be talking. You're sitting there. You're holding her hand. Next thing you know, she don't walk 4 or 5 miles. You go back. Come back again. Walk 4 or 5 miles. Just do it that way. Speed the pace up after a couple of weeks. She's going to start losing weight if she's doing that. But you can't walk no one lap and then think you've done so. I hate to see people come out. They go on walking one lap, and they 400 pounds. You're going to have to get it a little bit more than that. But I think walking is the best way to ease them in because they get paranoid when they walk in the weight room and they see people in there. They get scared. They can't. But when you take them to a park somewhere, no weights, no pressure, and just tell them to go walking, that's the easiest way to get a woman to start exercising.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But like I said yesterday, and I remember that too, that's why I got mad against Tracy. You got to be accountable. If you're telling me as a man I have to be accountable to bring in money, how come as a man I can't ask you to be accountable as a woman to keep yourself in shape? And you're telling me as a woman I'm supposed to be sugarcoating you, but if as a man I lose money.
That just goes to show you the warped society we have as a people. When it's all woman-centered, like it's all to the advantage of the women. Everything that you name benefits women. Everything.
Yeah. It's like
I can't name nothing that benefits men that isn't looked down upon, that isn't shunned in our society.
Yeah. Come on.
If you tell your woman, hey, babe, I don't like your hair like this, could you change it? And she changes it. And some women in that shop found out that you, as her husband, came in and told her how to get her hair done. And trust me, my mom fixed hair. You come in there and tell your woman, hey, baby, cut your hair like this and walk out. Watch what they say as soon as you walk out the door.
Girl, you're going to expect a man expecting you to do this to you, man. I would not expect you. Man should accept you for who you are, girl.
Exactly.
And that's the same woman who didn't have a person, a boyfriend or a husband for 20 years that's telling you that. Girl, I would never accept that. You don't even have a man since 10 years ago.
Look, my girl, she got a nice body or whatever. She'll put on tight clothes. We about to go somewhere. I said, baby, why are you trying to? I can't tell her to change clothes. Only way I have to play chess with her. I got to be, I don't like that outfit. It just don't look right. That's the only way. I can't tell her, baby, your ass is too big for those pants. It just makes you look, what, you trying to show off or something? Why don't you put something on a little bit more looser than that? It's really kind of getting a lot, it's going to get a lot of attention. If I say that, that's what she's going for. That's what she wants.
She's going to look at you and say, oh, how can you dare me tell you this? You should say, oh. But she would have no power if you tomorrow you did something stupid. She'll tell you the rest. She won't show you.
No, I've been working out, right? My homeboy called me or something like that, and she got an apartment. There's a lot of females stay up there, right? So I was outside jumping rope, right? I was jumping rope with the shirt. I got sweat real bad. So I'm outside, took my little shirt off. I'm out there jumping rope. I ain't think about these women. So the one chick came out and smiled or said something. So I smiled back or whatever. So I'm thinking she's just being nice. Man, she had a fit. She tell me now, don't go out to the trash. Don't take your shirt off. Don't. If I'm out there on the phone, she don't like me even in a wife beat right at the time. She just, I guess she don't like me trying to show off my body. But she don't wear tight pants with high heels. And I'm like, baby, you know you got a 40-something inch behind. Why are you walking out with these tight-fitting jeans on, trying to show everybody? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree with that. That's one thing. When I'm with my girl, I'm holding your hand. I'm walking because we had I went to an event that was a lot of expensive cars, things like that, and it was a big event. Oh, my God, there was beautiful women. Don't get me wrong. There was beautiful. I'm a man. But I'm not looking. I'm still with you. I'm doing all night. And when it came back home, I saw you. You were looking at a woman. I'm like.
Well, women go out to realize if you ain't. Women go out to realize if you ain't finna go to the gym and work out, and I'm a workout fanatic, and I see a woman walking with her stomach out, six-pack, nice body. She hit these legs all muscular, shapely. Got a nice round behind, like she really hit the squat rack real good. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm going to look. You know what I like? It's like if I'm a man and I'm not trying to do have any money, and my chick's here, a guy, nice looking guy riding the Mercedes with the top down, or a BMW or a Jaguar, and he's smiling at her and she looking back. I'm going to get insecure, but I'm not going out here as a man to try to make sure I got that, can at least afford that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, what I would do is, if I have the chance, go get that guy who has a Mercedes and say, hey, yo, can I talk to you for 2 seconds? And ask him, how the hell did you go get that Mercedes? That's what I would do. I would envy him. I would be like, man, he got a Mercedes.
And I want
but
that
see,
car.
But see, for a woman, women are too catty, though, Stanley. I mean,
but
women.
You'll never hear a woman.
One woman walking up to another woman talking about, yeah, where do you work at? How do you do the squat rack? It
exactly.
really works wonders for
you'll
your
never
ass.
Never hear that.
How did
like
you get
that.
An ass like that? Because I know I could, it's really muscular. It sits up just right. What did you do?
Exactly. You'll never hear that. The woman will be like, hell. And look at her. She's skinny. She's what?
Yeah.
She's skinny.
No, the type of woman I'm talking about, she'll probably say she's manly. She got abs. It just don't look right when a woman got abs. I had a girl tell me it don't look right when a woman got abs. I'm like, that's the human body. It's supposed to look like that. You just, most women don't know because they got fat over their stomach.
You're
supposed to have abs as a woman. Just like a man.
Yeah. And it makes me so much laugh when you hear some of the, especially a person who's out of shape, and you're working out, you're doing what you need to do, and she's saying, well, you know, I'm in great health. I have no problem. I went to see the doctor, and the doctor told me I have no cholesterol problem, this problem, that problem. I have no problem at all. I'm perfectly okay the way I am my weight. And you're like, okay. And next thing you know, she's like, oh, my back is hurting a little bit. Oh, my shoulders are hurting a little bit. I thought you were in perfect shape. Aren't
yeah.
you feeling that way? No.
But you got a lot of thirsty guys out here that'll take these women and
oh, yeah,
blow their heads up.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
Oh,
like, I'm in the South, man. My girl, guys are crazy about her. They just are. She's not fat. She got a nice body. But I'm like, look, baby, you could be in better shape than what you are. You need to work out. But, guys, she works at the bank. She makes good money. So people come in there, see enough. She everything she wears is tight. So every time guys come in there, they just drooling and acting. So they got her thinking, I don't need to lift weights. I'm already perfect. You know, that's how she thinks. But, see, I'm sitting like, man, I done traveled. I done been to Brazil. I done seen what's out there. So when I tell you to work out, I'm grading you on a tougher scale than these local guys that ain't never been outside of Alabama in Atlanta.
Exactly. I agree with you so much, man. I went to Brazil. I freaked out. That's what I tell them. My girlfriend did the same tactic with that. She's like, well, you know, I see other guys are cruising me and this, and I'm like, I never said you're an ugly girl. I never said that you're not good looking. I'm just saying that you could be finer than this if you want to. I'm saying that you could lose weight and this and that. Of course there's going to be guys. What, am I supposed to give you a trophy because guys are approaching you and wants to go out with you?
Man, if a woman came to me and said that, like, Bill, you're very nice looking, but you need to work out, man. You could really be, even though I would triple my workout. Even though I think I work out pretty good now, I would work out twice as hard because somebody actually challenged me and brought that to, that's me, though. That's my personality.
Oh.
I'm just like that.
No, forget it. I swear. I'm telling you, I was this close of breaking up with her on Sunday. I couldn't believe it. I came very, very easily. I was like, look, we went to the nutritionist. The nutritionist told you need to do weights and do this and do that. Why don't we?
Let me say one thing, Stanley. I've been thinking about your situation and listening to it. And this is what I'm going to say, man. It seems like her metabolism needs to be jump-started. It needs to be.
Yeah.
She needs to have some sort of shock to her system, weight training, and tell her to jump rope. It's something about jumping rope. When you jump up and down like that, it does something with your organs, and it makes it makes the metabolism fire off, and you burn fat very fast with jumping rope. I mean, the results of jumping rope are just phenomenal. And I know this is something, you know, she may not try because, I mean, it's like hard to do, but if you get her to start jumping rope together or something, you ain't got to really go nowhere. You just stand outside, do a little jump rope, 10, 15 minutes to start, and boom, just as a start. But something to start getting that metabolism fired up. Also, green leafy vegetables, kale, wheatgrass, stuff like that. Like, I'm sure you got a Rubik's smoothie. I was in Manhattan, man. They got all types of smoothies. Up in the Upper East Side, they're very health conscious over in the Upper East Side. Everybody over there works out. I would take a trip over there and get some night, start getting those smoothies. They actually serve real orange juice, like freshly squeezed. It might be like $8 a gallon. But, you know, start getting her to do that type of stuff, and I think that'll work wonders for you, man, because the metabolism don't sound like it's – if you try to go work out and you got all this gunk and oil in your system, it's not going to function as properly.
Yeah, it wants to work out. And I tried to bake – Sunday I was coming up to her very nicely and like, look, okay – why don't we get an agenda, get your calendar, which we have a 30 days. Let's sit down together, and let's look at the workout we could do for 30 days of your plan, and you're done. And we could be like, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I can help you out. And, you know, I spend so much money on training program. I have over.
But you know what, though? Like, my girl, man, one thing about her is that she used to run track, right, in high school. So she's got, like, muscular. She got, like, legs that look muscular. So what I hate about her, she'll go work out for, like, she got a little stomach, right? She'll go work out for, like, a month, 6 weeks, and it'll be going down real fast. Like, her back. Oh, I mean, I've seen her do it, and I'm like, you don't have to get like me. I have to get chiseled. I'm a man. So I got, for me being nice, I got a six-pack stomach. But for me, I got to be perfect. I got to be perfect. So I got to, my body fat got to be down under 10%. She can get down to 20% body fat and walk around with her stomach out. She'll have a nice body stomach, and she'll have a flat stomach. It's not hard for women. Women don't have to get what we do. As a man, a woman even notice you physically. You know how much weight you have to lift if you've never, you could be ripped up and in shape, put on a T-shirt, they won't even know you got a nice body.
Yeah.
In order for it to show in your clothes as a man, you got to lift and put a little mass on. You just do.
Yeah, and that's why I was very polite coming to her like this. Oh, my God. I had the huge argument. Oh, my God. I don't want to do this. I'm like, what's your problem? Why are you taking it so personally? I'm trying to help you on something that you're crying out about, and I'm saying let's find a solution together and sit down. And got fed up. I was like, look, I mean,
you know what, Stanley? You might need to go ahead and invest in a third party. You're going to have to, because it don't seem like you're going to get nowhere with her, man.
No, I had to tour for 40 minutes in the car. And I was like, are you really? I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not saying that you're less of as a person. I'm telling you that if you want to have, if you want to lose the weight, you got to have a plan. You don't have no plan. You could come to me and tell me, oh, I'm working out. Based on what? What are you working on? What are you doing? You have to have a plan. You have to go, and every week you got to look at your plan and say, look, I was in the Monday, I was 185, and I've done the six-time work. I've drink water. I've done everything I did. And after a week, I'm still at 185. Okay, we have a result that's not good. Okay, we need to change something. But if you have no plan and you have nothing that goes with data, how can I help you?
You know what, though, Stanley? I'm gonna say this, man. You're probably not going to like this. There's another way you can do it. If you like your woman, the way she, her personality and stuff, go on the Groupon. You know what Groupon is, right?
Yeah.
They got this thing. They got this procedure called Smart Lipo. They'll just take a little small 1.5 centimeter, like less than a centimeter, like 15 millimeters or something, real narrow. They'll go in, they'll liquefy the fat and pull it right out, and they'll do it for $1,500. Which is dirt cheap. You got people out there paying $8,000 to $10,000 for this. Now that's in Atlanta. I know you can get it done that cheap. But I was actually thinking about just paying the money for my girl. Just like, you know what, she ain't gonna do it. I talked to her about it. I said, you know, why don't you just let me just go and get it paid and get it taken out? What's $1,500? I ain't trying. $1,500 is not chump change by any stretch of the imagination. Don't get it twisted. But you know, you could probably over the course of a few months say that pay it and won't even feel it. And she'll be happy because she'll be off her ass. She'll get the fat off in the problem areas, which just listen to you talk, I'm sure she probably has a stomach and her back.
Yep.
She wants to get her back.
For
the stomach and the lower stomach and the flanks on the side, the lower hammer, they'll take that off for like $1,500, right? And then you have to come back again and they'll hit the back. That'll be like $1,100, I think. It's $11 for just two areas, which they do left side of the back, right side of the back, upper back, and that's two right there. Then you come back to the front, they'll do your flanks on the side, your lower handles, that's one, your lower abdomen on the right side, left side. So it's four areas. And it's in Atlanta. They got an area. They got a place in Atlanta. You can go on Groupon right now. That's the easiest way. I know that is probably a cop-out, but then go to the weight room and work out. Because I know for a fact fashion models do it. I know celebrities do it. They even got this new treatment called laser lipo, where she lays down and they hit her gut, right, and then she has to go work out for like an hour, and she loses like 20% of the fat in that area. You have to, they do it like not 20%. It's she loses like an inch every time she does it, and they do it like 8 to 10 times. They do it, but it's gonna cost. When you get through, you're gonna be out like maybe $800-$900 to $1,000. It's thousands of ways, man. Like, I know you probably sitting in front of a computer every day, like I do. Yeah. So you could probably go on the internet. Groupon, it's called Smart Lipo. That's one. That's the one where they literally go out and take the fat out. And go on Groupon and type that up. And you in New York, so I'm sure they got people up there running specials, because I'm in Atlanta and I see specials for like
$1,600. I'll look at this and everything. The one question and everything, the fat in the back, it's really because a lot of people who are skinny still have some fat in the back. How come they still have that, some people? I see that some people.
Look here, man, I got fat on my back. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't do pull-ups at first. I guess I neglected my back. I hit my stomach and chest a lot, biceps, triceps, squat, calves, and I really didn't hit my back when I was young. Now, all my fat is in my back. Like, I could go now and walk in the weight room and do 15, 20 pull-ups, wide grip. I'm talking about wide grip. Hard to do. Couldn't do them at first. I done built up to 15. I see the muscles coming through, but the fat is just, it's hard to get off. I think about just going and letting them take it off. It'll never come back because they're taking the cells out. I mean, that's to me, and it is real small incisions. And, you know, I'm black, so my skin is not going to, it's not going to show that much on me. It'd just be a little small cut, like a little scrape or something, and it's gone. I mean, why not? They say when you gain weight back, your body going to put it in other areas. But in order to do that, that means I'm going to have to not work out. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to always do something. Like, I don't have the genetics to walk around real, real fat. I just don't. Like, I've not worked out for 6 or 7 months, and people didn't notice. I noticed, but they didn't.
They didn't, yeah. Anyways, I have to go back to my stuff. I'm trying to create my website.
But check out Smart Lipo, man. I mean, it's 50 ways. It's more than one way to skin a cat, man. If she don't want to work out, go ahead and tell me, how would you like me just take it off? Sure, she don't want to look at it in the mirror, even if she don't want to work out.
Oh, and she has the audacity of telling me that, oh, I think, like I said, all the friends are covering her up and things like that, and I'm like, right. Go ahead with your friends. I'm like, I don't understand that philosophy. Tracy tried to explain it yesterday. I still don't understand, because that takes out accountability. That takes out, that makes me feel like as a man, if I go in front of a woman has no problem of being hard on me and being direct and expecting responsibility. But when I reverse that, I say, what's your responsibility?
Naturally, the toughest part about being a man is that, by definition, you're supposed to be rough anyway. So you could tell a man the truth. Whereas with a woman, you're supposed to be gentle with them. So you can't tell them the truth. That's the way it works.
Anyway, I got to go.
Check out that Smart Lipo, man. Tell me what she say next time I hear from her. Just see what – I would love to hear what she say about that. I think she probably want to go for that. That's the easy – 30 minutes later, it's gone.
Yeah.
It takes an hour. It takes an hour. It pull it right out. I mean, then she ain't got to worry about it no more.
Yeah, I'll look at it. Thanks, man. All right.
All right.
Bye.